The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Thursday, April 25th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, two people were injured when intense flames burned through a house in Richardson Park, Newcastle County, early Thursday. The fire broke out at about 1:30 in the morning on the unit block of West Summit Avenue, just south of Maryland Avenue. Raging flames consumed the home and a handicap ramp leading to the front of the home. One of the residents inside ran across the street to a nearby firehouse, while the other resident, a 51-year-old woman, was found lying on a neighbor's lawn. The two women were taken to Christiana Hospital. One is in critical condition with burns over 75% of her body, and she was transferred to Crozier. Fire officials say smoke detectors saved the lives of the women, waking them up and giving them a chance to get out of the house. The two-story single-family home is directly across the street from the firehouse. The state fire marshal is at the scene this morning. They are investigating to try to find a cause of this fire.
Yeah, it's the smoke detector thing. Thank God for that. I mean, obviously some people are in really, really bad shape, but we're actually going to have somebody in here in the next week or two because Steve, you and I met this guy in the hallway.
Yeah, they're doing a great thing.
They're doing a really, really great thing where, I mean, I don't know if it was the state or the city was given, like, basically $1 million to go and give people smoke detectors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essential. Yeah, they do that all the time. They usually do it a lot in the summertime. A Philadelphia minister is among 16 men arrested in a New Jersey child predator sting operation. The New Jersey Attorney General's office announced the arrest during Operation Home Alone during a press conference Wednesday. 37-year-old Roger DeRoyo was charged for allegedly luring kids through social media apps. DeRoyo is a traveling minister from Philadelphia. He faces charges including second-degree luring, third-degree attempted debauching morals of a child, and fourth-degree attempted criminal sexual contact. Others arrested include a Ridgewood police officer, a Bronx, New York high school teacher, drivers for two rideshare companies, a finance lead for an internet service provider, a bank branch officer, office manager, a barbershop owner, a dental hygienist, two takeout food delivery men, and others. The Bergen County Prosecutor's Office is prosecuting the case. The Attorney General's Office, working in conjunction with them, shared more details about the major statewide investigation that also netted a police officer, that high school teacher, along with Uber and Lyft drivers. The underage children were, in fact, undercover police officers. Most of the defendants were arrested when they arrived at the resident in Bergen County, where they allegedly expected to find the victim home alone. Instead, investigators said they found law enforcement officers prepared to arrest them and process any evidence seized. All of the men arrested face numerous charges for sex crimes against children.
It's actually a great system because when the guys arrived and opened up the door, a can of paint swung down and hit them in the head.
Wow.
Yeah, just like Home Alone. But it's an incredible plan.
A man has been rescued from the sewer in Allentown after spending several days underground.
Listen,
cell phone video captured the moment the man ascended from the manhole Tuesday morning. Construction workers first heard the man yelling for help at the corner of Law and Walnut Streets. So I heard construction workers heard him. So I'm thinking, well, he was a construction. Happened. Apparently not.
No.
After he was pulled out, he was taken to the hospital for hypothermia and dehydration. Firefighters say that there's not enough room to crouch down in the storm sewers. It's pretty much belly crawling. And this guy was just crawling around the sewers. He wasn't...
For days.
For fun?
Days.
I mean, obviously it wasn't fun after a while.
They don't know yet. It's crazy.
Well, I'm curious.
I actually have it in the bizarre file.
Yeah, if he just simply went down...
To see what it was like and got lost in the system and the maze. Quite possible because it's pitch black dark. They had to yell down to him to lure him to where they were.
Oh my God, I would freak out.
Oh my God, yes,
freak out.
Yeah.
So
they were, they were saying, you know, they kept making noise, so he would head in the direction of the noise because in a tunnel it's kind of hard to hear where sounds are coming from and stuff like that. And they eventually got him to where they could get him out of there.
So I can pull it together, you know, when I'm in a situation that's fairly nerve-wracking and calm myself. In a tight, like, John McClane vent kind of sewage drain. That would be a tough one to stop myself from going full panic mode.
Right, so you mentioned Andy Dufresne. That's what I was thinking, that press, and, like... Do you think he knew that it was going to end in 500 yards, or he was just kind of hoping that it would end at some point?
I don't know.
We're going to find out. Hopefully he'll be very candid and forthcoming, because we've got to hear this story.
Police have not filed charges against him. The man did not reveal how and why he ended up in the pipes. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Phillies beat the New York Mets 6-0 last night in Queens.
They did it!
Best part of the game, Rhys Hoskins hit a home run off reliever Jacob Rehm and taunted him with a slow jog around the bases the night after Rehm threw two fastballs at Hoskins' head. In the ninth, Hoskins hit a two-run shot over the wall in left field. It took him 34.23 seconds to round the bases, the slowest trot in the majors this season. The Phillies are back home tonight as they start a four-game weekend series against the Miami Marlins. Caleb Smith will get the start for Miami. Aaron Nola will go for the Phillies. First pitch is scheduled for 7:05. There were two games in the NBA playoffs last night, both in the Western Conference. The Houston Rockets closed out their series against the Utah Jazz with a 193 win in Game 5. The LA Clippers sent their first-round series back home with a 129-121 Game 5 win over the Golden State Warriors in Oakland. And the NBA announced that the second-round series between the Raptors and the Sixers will begin on Saturday night in Toronto. Tip-off has yet to be determined. It will be either 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And in hockey, Brock McGinn scored the winning goal in double overtime of Game 7 as the Carolina Hurricanes beat the defending Stanley Cup champ Washington Capitals 4-3 to advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Overall, it was one of the craziest first rounds in NHL history. Each conference top seed, all four division champions, and the teams that met in last year's Cup Finals are all out. The Hurricanes are advancing to face the New York Islanders in the second round. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. A Thursday morning, the table is set. We are ready to dine upon, well, stuff like money, some cash that we have to give away, and that is a GoFund Yourself Part 2. Getting ready to wrap that up. We have today, tomorrow, and Monday, and then we're done. So don't miss your opportunity.
It's a lot of money.
It is.
A lot of money that's given away.
And a $10,000 grand prize that you could possibly win if you enter via the MMR app or WMMR.com. We'll get to the specifics on that around 8 o'clock. But we'll have a word for you to enter, and maybe you'll walk away $1,000 richer today and maybe 10 grand richer next week. We'll find out about that. The ladies of Club Risqué are stopping by today for a hottie cam. Tonight is $2 drafts and a return of Club Risqué's Calendar Girls from the past 20 years.
How about that?
Yeah, so...
So is this sort of our take your kids to work day?
Or maybe that's it. Is today take your
it
kids
is.
To work
day? It is, yeah.
Okay, so it's our version.
It's our version of take your kids to work day. We're going to have strippers in.
I should have brought my kids to work today.
Thank you, Daddy!
So... We'll see what former Calendar Girls show up here. We have known several over the years from Club Risqué, but we'll find out what that's all about later on. I'll let you know when they are here. We have some things to give away, including, you know what, tonight is our sorority party. We're headed to Parks Casino, and it's from 6 to 8, and it's Sisters and Suds. So we're going to be in their beer garden, which is this really cool addition that they've added on the past several months. And all our ladies are going to get craft beer glasses to customize with Preston and Steve Zeta Eta Pi themed paint markers. And we'll have Zeta Eta Pi pins to give away to our new sisters. So I tell you what, let's take four callers right now. 215-263-WMMR. If you're at least 21 years of age, you can join us tonight. A little happy hour activity. Love to have you there. Always have a good time.
Honestly, and if you can, I don't know what your work situation is or whatever the deal is. Obviously, there's a little bit of traffic and rush hour stuff to deal with. Get out there. Leave work a little early. Get out there at 6. We want to... This room is awesome. Yeah. And then with that retractable roof, it's going to add another element to it.
Yeah, I hope... They're calling for rain.
Are they?
Let's open it anyway. Why not? Let's get soaking wet with
honestly,
the girls.
It'd be like a... absolutely. Wet t-shirt contest. Yeah.
But anyhow, let's get you on board. Four ladies now are at least 21 years of age. And if you bring a guest, they have to be a female and 21. And we will bring them into the fold of the Preston and Steve sorority Zeta Eta Pi. So we'll do some more giveaways through the course of the morning. Going to take a break. Come back in a second. We'll get to the stupid question entertainment report. There's a new most beautiful person that we'll tell you about in a little bit.
And congratulations to you, Preston.
Thank you. Well, I didn't want to tip the hand.
I didn't want to tip it, yeah.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, this morning we continue our Marvel Cinematic Universe questions for Stupid Question. Our friend Craig Ligons from the Comic Book Gurus gave me these, and we're going to give away for this particular question a pair of tickets to join Casey and Nick. They will be in a suite at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race at Dover International Speedway May 5th. So the question this time, I think it's a pretty easy one for anybody who follows the MCU. Of the six Infinity Stones, which one did Doctor Strange wear around his neck? 215-263-WMMR. Pretty easy one, but every now and then you got to have a gimme, all right? The six Infinity Stones, which one did Doctor Strange wear around his neck? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. I have five birthdays to make you aware of on this particular
day. Just five,
day,
huh?
We're waiting for. Yeah, but they're good ones.
All right.
Today is Thursday, April 25th. Yeah, every single one of these is a good one. Renee Zellweger.
We'll
start,
oh, yeah.
Start with her. And a big one for her. Renee is 50 years old today.
What's the status of her eyes?
They're open.
See, they were squinty, and then they were open, yeah, miraculously.
Yeah.
And they look like they might have gone back to squinty.
You know what? I haven't seen her as of late, so I don't know. But I guess she is. Nick pulled up some photos of her performing as Judy Garland.
With open eyes.
In the movie Judy. Yeah, yeah. Her eyes are open in this one, so she's going to be playing her. I guess that's the next thing on her list of credits.
And I guess you need that to read the script.
Yeah, you need eyes
to read the script. So. Yeah, this picture is, I mean, that's, honestly, you would not know that was Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, it's pretty close, too, how Judy Garland looked.
Yeah.
So she's 50 today. The great Hank Azaria is celebrating his 55th birthday today.
Super talented.
Yeah. What's the show he's on right now?
Bowl.
No, it's not Bull.
Something like that. He's a sports...
It's one word.
Yeah.
It's the last name.
What the hell is it?
It is called Brockmire.
Brockmire. That's it.
Nick just pulled that up. I hear that's a great show and one that I have on my list to eventually get to.
Well, yeah, he's one of those characters that you that is really sort of reprehensible, yep, but you love him anyway.
And you'll appreciate it because you like announcing. You like this, okay, you know, that side of it. And sometimes when you're just bullcrapping your way through everything that you're saying, he does that every game.
You think about does a good version. William Macy in Seabiscuit.
Yep.
Yeah. Same sort of deal. Yeah.
Yep. But I tell you what, Hank Azaria, think about him, not only a talented actor and also voice actor, obviously, from The Simpsons all those years. If you see him in Along Came Polly, that dude is in phenomenal shape.
So they showed when he was with Helen Hunt and they shared an apartment together in the city, like a condo. They showed pictures of the different rooms of the house. There was like a full gym in that facility. Yeah.
I believe it. Well, look, Casey, you never saw the movie, but look at these pictures of him.
Yeah.
And he's wearing these bikini briefs, but the dude is just cut up. So he stays on top of that. He's 55 years old today, by the way, Hank Azaria. Then you have Talia Shire.
Ah.
Close ties to Philadelphia, obviously, with being Adrian and Rocky.
How did you get so strong?
How did you get so strong? Right. Talking to Hank Azaria?
Or, Talia Shire.
So Talia Shire, yeah, and obviously the Godfather movies as well.
She annoyed me initially in the Godfather movies, and now I appreciate what she's doing.
You know, right.
Like, especially in Godfather 2.
Yeah.
When she goes through this metamorphosis.
Yeah.
And it's really good. But, yeah. Come on. In Rocky, all the subsequent Rockies, she's the voice of reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is hard when you have, especially like in Rocky V, when you have a clinically insane man that
Do
you're
I
married
hear
to.
Reindeer on my roof?
Do I told you, shut up!
I was watching.
I'm gonna hit you.
I think I was listening to the promo or whatever. Yeah, and you said when he claps his hands like that, that's him that's hitting right. her in the face.
Shut up! You're ruining the whole reindeer thing. That my 17-year-old son still believes in Santa Claus.
Yeah, you guys worked on it.
I can't believe we just come up on the roof. You just landed there and crashed. And what do you think it is?
Do I hear reindeer on my roof?
you know.
Shut up!
It's a whole, you know, you're jumping ahead in the script.
They had a script.
Absolutely.
They
yeah, he wrote it in crayon.
I was getting to that.
Yeah, she jumped in early.
Here's your line. Here's your line. See, he says, take a beat. Adrian reacts incredulously.
This is written in crayon.
You know, they clearly had it planned out, right?
Hey, yeah. And so Talia is 73.
I've said
today.
It many times. That was the best take. That was the one that made it to the movie.
Right. That's the one they said is the keeper.
Yeah. Now, also celebrating the same birthday, Al Pacino.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Speaking of The Godfather.
So, all right. Here's a super tough Michael. Question.
Yeah.
Michael Corleone, his greatest role of all time, right?
For Pacino?
For Al Pacino. Wow. Or do you see one that supersedes that?
That's a really good question.
Because there have been great... legendary. I love him in the movie Heat.
Dog Day Afternoon. He's
Dog
pretty
Day
amazing
Afternoon.
In, man.
But because, honestly, Michael Corleone is a very restrained character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, God almighty, he's so... You know, don't insult my intelligence.
Yeah. In fact, the only time you really see him wig out is when he finds out that... that his wife had the baby aborted, and that's when he goes over the top.
And when he gets Hulk hands for Christmas.
He hated
that?
Oh,
wait, that's Step Brothers.
Yeah. I don't like the Al Pacino that everybody impersonates. I prefer...
The over-the-top
the
one?
Yeah, it's not that I don't like it. It's sometimes I think that Al Pacino is overrated.
Do you know any? Well, listen, look at it in movies going back to like one of his first movies called Scarecrow with Gene Hackman or Dog Day Afternoon. Preston points out is a brilliant performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, can he chew up the scenery? Yeah, but sometimes it's really a lot of fun. Like in Devil's Advocate.
Yes.
You know, he's literally almost virtually ingesting the scenery,
yeah.
but it's he's what he's supposed to be.
I don't know. In Scent of a Woman, when he's, you know, talking about being blind, he's like, I'm in the dark here.
Yeah.
It's emotionally, you feel it, you know, I mean,
yeah.
So I know what you're saying. The over the top thing can get to be a bit much, but there are times when it's right
it's
on
called
the money.
For, yeah.
So he is 79 years old today, Al Pacino. And the last birthday is actor Jason Lee. The Incredibles. Music from Michael Giacchino, by the way. This is music that we're hearing right now.
I was just watching him last night in Vanilla Sky. He's in that movie with Tom Cruise.
Plays his buddy.
Yeah, two Scientologists, too.
Yeah, yeah. Almost Famous. He's wonderful in. And, of course, some of the Kevin Smith movies. He was in Chasing Amy.
So he's in the he also makes an appearance in the reboot they just did of Jane Silent Bob. Yeah.
Okay. So Jason Lee, yeah, he was Syndrome in The Incredibles. 49 years old today. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And of the six Infinity Stones, which one did Doctor Strange wear around his neck? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I will go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning. Mike? You okay?
I think so.
All right, so what is it? What's the stone, the Infinity Stone that he wears?
The Time Stone?
Time Stone, yeah. We did have somebody that was going to say the Eye of Agamotto. That's what he had the stone in.
Yes.
But, Mike, hang on the line. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you a pair of tickets to join Casey and Nick in a suite for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race at Dover International Speedway. That's May 5th. You can celebrate Dover International Speedway's 50th anniversary during race weekend, which is May 3rd through the 5th. And for information and tickets, you can visit doverspeedway.com.
I've really come to appreciate Doctor Strange, the original movie, and especially the ending, Preston, when he uses the powers of the Time Stone to just create an endless loop.
Yeah,
that's
pretty awesome.
That's so I'm not going to beat you, but this is the way it's going to be forever.
Yeah.
So you want a bargain?
Yep.
Yeah,
until he got bored and then moved on. All right, so the two most prominent figures in the college admissions scandal, Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, are taking completely opposite approaches to their legal case. While Huffman has pleaded guilty and issued a mea culpa that expressed shame and regret, Loughlin is pleading not guilty and claiming that she had no idea what she was doing was against the law.
Really?
Uh-huh. Loughlin and her husband, Mossimo Giannulli, planned to mount a defense saying that they had no idea that shelling out the $500,000 to get their daughters Bella and Olivia Jade in the University of Southern California was illegal. According to a source, they said, you read the complaint and they look like credible masterminds, but they really didn't know the legalities of what was going on. They're not lawyers and they're not experts. They were parents who simply wanted to make sure that their daughters got into a good school.
See, this is going to be hurt by the fact that you have that Massimo. Is that how his name is pronounced?
I always said Massimo because of the clothing line.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's, in fact, that's his
clothing industry.
Okay.
Line.
All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. So I was wondering,
I don't know clothing lines.
If you know, the stuff that you had the revelation present earlier about him as a kid or a younger man bilking his parents out of money and showing a more devious way of accruing wealth.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not a piker when it comes to this and manipulation. Yeah. So I think it's going to be hard to convince a court they were completely ignorant to what they were doing.
I'm a little concerned because, I mean, I'm admitting this now, but Rochelle and I offered up $750,000 to Montgomery County Community College.
Oh. And what did they say?
They're working on it.
They're working on it?
Yeah, we haven't gotten official acceptance yet.
But you didn't know.
How about the Preston Elliott Center for Children That Want to Learn Good and Read Good, too?
Read Gooder.
But I just don't know if we didn't know this is illegal is a... It's not a valid defense.
Know. What? I'm sorry. Then I would never have shot you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but, all right, so...
I would never have robbed this bank if I knew it was illegal.
Let me ask you, if you're driving down a stretch of road, right? And you're going 55, and it's a 35, but there was no, like, let's say one of the street signs was knocked over.
You're still in violation of the law.
Yeah,
right?
but you may have a case in that regard. If it's
guilty
not,
with an explanation.
If it's not posted,
uh-huh.
And the previous stretch of road maybe was a different speed limit, and you were going that speed limit, you'd have some room to work with because there was a mistake by the state in,
you know,
in something like that, I would imagine.
Guilty with an explanation was going to be Oswald's defense until Jack Ruby shot him. But, yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah, exactly. Your Honor,
I have an explanation.
I did it, but I thought he was an a-hole.
Yeah.
Wait, is
for shooting a pigeon.
Yeah.
Is guilty with an explanation a thing?
Yes
it is.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm. Depending on... I've heard and read it used before, Case. I don't know where and when you can use that and when it's not applicable, whether it be federal or state or whatever level. But anyhow, one major issue TMZ points out is that Gianulli spent $100,000 or sent $100,000 directly to an assistant athletic director, which may look like a straight-up bribe instead of the less direct but more technically legal horse trading that often goes on at elite colleges, like parents funding a new school building and then their children get in, that type of thing.
And so, okay, we'll see how this plays out. I'm fascinated with this whole deal, but they're much more behind the eight ball now because of their not taking that original plea deal.
Yeah.
They were forced to plead innocent.
Wait, Nick found a legal precedent. What is this, Nick?
No, it's not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse.
Ignoratia juris non excusat.
Yes.
And apparently, ignorance of the law excuses no one. Is a legal principle holding that a person who is unaware of a law may not escape liability for violating that law merely because one was unaware of its contents.
Do you know who set the case precedent here, Preston?
Mm-hmm.
It was Nell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was ignorant of all laws.
Ignoratia.
This is her summation. Well, we're going to take that into consideration, Miss Nell.
Ignoratia juris non excusat tie.
That's yes.
Originally what it's called.
I'm very curious about your assertion that you're very tie.
What scares me are, like, tax laws, for instance, right? Like, every year I pay my taxes and
I'm so tie. I like.
And yeah. I get concerned that at some point I'm going to get, what's that?
Pinched.
Audited. Yeah, audited. And then I go, well... Man, I thought I was doing everything right.
It's not like it doesn't happen periodically, but do you prepare your own taxes?
I show up and I sign my name.
Yeah, okay. So you're covered. That's why you pay them.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
All right. Nick had another
situation.
You're
not going to go to jail for it. You'll have to fix. They'll have to fix it.
Yeah, I got audited. Yeah.
But it was not Nick's fault.
No. Okay, so moving on. Meanwhile, Instagram influencer Olivia Jade, you know, Lori Loughlin's daughter,
yes, yeah,
who was reportedly on the outs with her mother over the scandal, is now speaking to her mom again.
Oh, that's nice.
The source says Olivia was angry with her parents first and now realized they were just trying to do what's best for her. She loves her mom and dad very much, but is especially close with Lori.
We need the sweet Brady Bunch music.
Yes.
The patching of the relationship.
Loughlin and Gianulli are reportedly facing 20 to 40 years behind bar. bars while behind the bar. They have to work. They got to be a bar back. Meanwhile, Huffman may be looking at a year thanks
Mom,
to a plea deal.
I may have flown off the handle when you completely ruined my endorsement deal.
Mm-hmm. All right, so People Magazine has dubbed 47-year-old Jennifer Garner as 2019's most beautiful person. I love
She is a beautiful person.
She's a great choice.
Legitimately beautiful on the outside, but I think what makes her more beautiful is the kind, clearly kind person that she is.
Yeah, so it's not just her picture-perfect looks, but also her activism and laid-back and supportive approach to her divorce from Ben Affleck. As is standard procedure, upon revealing Most Beautiful status, Garner swung by the Ellen DeGeneres Show to unveil the cover, confessing, "You guys are the first people to know. My mom doesn't know. My sisters, my kids, nobody knows." And then she said, "People is now a magazine for AARP." She was joking around. And she said, "You know how many times that I've been here and I've never been more nervous than I am today? I guess I just thought you guys would boo. Like you guys are expecting, how do you say her, Kaia Gerber? Which is Cindy Crawford's daughter.
Oh, yeah, Cindy Crawford's daughter, yeah.
And it's me. And I feel like bolting. I feel like I should go, you know what I mean? Because it's so ridiculous, it's silly, but it's nice," she said. She told People that the compliment she hears most frequently is that she's prettier in person than I am on screen, which is, I'm sure, nice to hear for her.
Well, I think the proof of what someone is actually made of is was evidenced when she interceded for Ben Affleck and made sure that he got into his... sober living.
It was a good move. She also revealed she doesn't read anything about herself in the media. She said, "Zero. Not only do I not read comments, I work very hard to not see the pictures, to not read articles, or to know what's out there at all. And it's not that I don't care. It's that I care too much. Instagram is a different story because I don't get a lot of people being mean on there." So,
yeah, she says she doesn't pay attention to a lot of that. In fact, she just found out recently that you have to pay taxes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, she's in for a rude awakening. Hey, John Stamos and his wife, Caitlin McHugh, had an unusually memorable birth experience.
John Stamos.
Yes, the 55-year-old Fuller House star, who, by the way, refers to himself as the baby whisperer.
John Stamos.
Tells People that McHugh went to the doctor with contractions, but was told that it was a false alarm.
John Stamos.
He said the doctor said, "Why don't you go home and have a glass of wine? She normally doesn't drink and hadn't for months." But that seemed to get things moving, and McHugh, who Stamos described as hammered, went into labor. The first few weeks were scary, they recall. He said he wasn't fully baked, so that was very scary in the beginning. He was very, very small, fragile, little. Every time he fell asleep, you're like, "Please wake up." And we were constantly checking to make sure that he was still breathing, which, by the way, for those of you who are expecting kids, is a common thing when you have a baby. It's normal to go by the crib and just be going,
"Are they breathing?
Please be breathing. Please be alive." It's just it's an innate fear that you have.
Jace is 7, and just the other day, I was like, "Why do I feel like I have to go into his room and check?"
Right,
him? Like
right.
On the way out to go to come to work.
Yeah.
And I went in and I was like, "Okay, yeah, I hear him breathing."
Yeah.
Quick question. So when you're, it's like trying to get things going as far as the actual birthing. I've heard sex.
Yeah, sex.
Is that physically possible? That,
oh, yeah.
It, far into, okay.
Spicy foods. There's all kinds of.
There's lots. Yes, you can have sex at full term, from what I understand. So.
Ew, get away from me.
But I mean, honestly, to stir things up.
Wait, something's got it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what somebody.
That's the fear.
That's what somebody said to me. A guy friend of mine says, "I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe like a hand's gonna grab
right!
it or something."
And then you're almost ensuring that the kid will be born and will win every hot dog eating contest. That's a, I don't. It's just a weird thing. But I also I've heard all those things from spicy food to sex to like a warm bath. Can you all that stuff?
Yeah, walking is supposed to be one as well.
The uneven parallel bars,
several different things, but. What's that stuff they give you that moves along?
Pitocin.
Pitocin, that's it, yeah.
I can't believe I knew that.
So, Modern Family star Sarah Hyland has navigated several life-threatening health challenges in the past decade between hospitalizations and surgeries to treat her kidney dysplasia to managing her endometriosis. She has had more to contend with than most people will experience in a lifetime.
She's had a ton of surgeries.
Yeah, the 28-year-old discussed her self-care strategy with people, explaining that balance is key for her. She said it really is this balance of mental, emotional, and physical reality. So if you're feeling mentally and emotionally drained, or if you're in a very dark space, you have to pull the string on the other side to lift you up out of that. That means for her working out, and she admits to having had trouble getting to the gym since undergoing a second kidney transplant. Can you imagine that? In September 2017.
I would freak. The notion of, you know, I've had a couple of things, but nothing like that. And, yeah. You know, could you see yourself grunting to do an exercise knowing that you just had kidney replacement surgery?
Hey, you know what? I've never done this before. Can I do a mid
what
celebrity story shard out?
Do it.
I got this from Amanda Veneziel. I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. She's from Harleysville, my area, but she wrote me and said, my husband, John, and I are huge fans. Back in 2001, we met. I introduced him to the show, and he's been hooked ever since. We've been married since 2004. We've had our ups and downs. Couldn't imagine life any other way. In 2016, he was diagnosed with stage 4 renal failure and had to immediately be put on dialysis since he had no kidney function and his body was filling up with bacteria. He's been type 1 diabetic since he was 11 and has beaten a lot of the odds and warnings they gave him when he was diagnosed 34 years ago. But April 16th, after many false alarms, he got the call there was a perfect match for a kidney.
That's awesome.
Kidney/pancreas transplant.
Wow.
Rushed down to U of Penn Hospital and he was wheeled in the surgery and he's been in and out of ICU since the surgery due to some internal bleeding, but he is getting stronger every day. He's an amazing dad to our two boys, and with us expecting one more, I'm so happy his quality of life will be improved, and I'm so proud of him and want him to know he will no longer be diabetic and has full functioning function of his kidney. Please give him the perfect shart out.
And it's got to be a tongue.
She says, so that's from Amanda for her son, John, or not her son, her husband, John. So let's fire that up.
Yeah!
So that's Amanda Veneziale, I guess is how you say the last name, and her husband John. So I thought that was a nice story.
Preston, when I was getting my achalasia procedure, which is like a little one night thing in the hospital, nothing big at all, I was there and there was a family that where there somebody that they knew was in there receiving a kidney transplant. So wow. The donor, the whole thing, and it was an amazing thing to see. There was this joy and this nervousness, but it was an amazing, you know, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
All these people gathered together to help save someone's life.
By the way, Sarah Hyland now, instead, she's focusing, instead of working out, on treating her skin. And she described the process in a new waterproof book for the brand Oil of Olay.
Ooh, it sounds like an endorsement there.
I know.
Yeah.
But she goes on to talk about how the Olay Moisture Ribbons Plus Body Wash has really been working for her.
This is really important news, I think, because a lot of people have dry skin or skin that is dry to the touch.
Right.
And they just don't know what to do, Preston.
Right. Well, they can
You're saying her recommendation, Oil of Olay.
Olay Moisture Ribbon Plus Body Wash.
I'm sorry. I picked the mustard. Yeah.
I feel a little violated right now. That story is just a long, drawn-out endorsement for Oil of Olay.
You know what, though?
Yes.
Everything, in some way, is connected to a commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess you're right.
All right. Anyhow, there's full statements, but I'm not going to go into that, Casey, so I'll save you that.
From the Oil Olay CEO.
All right. How about this? Lawyers for Bill Cosby filed a bail application on his behalf on Wednesday.
Are they still at it?
Accusing a judge, who sentenced him to prison of being part of a racist plot against him.
Wow.
And according to the post on Cosby's Instagram, it says, his dishonorable conduct makes me smile because this judge is being exposed and it shows that this is bigger than me.
Mm.
He said,
these are all big revelations.
He said, O'Neill now has his formula tried, true, and tested to destroy any black man and or colored man in America.
Mm.
Okay.
They're
really trying for anything.
They're doing the race card now.
Yep.
And soon they'll be on to Oil of Olay.
Right. Yeah. So he's serving 3 to 10 years after being convicted of assaulting Andrea Constan.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, because where you are, you're just miles from him.
Sometimes as we drive by, we say, hi, Bill.
Now,
yeah, it's pretty wild.
You can you actually see the facility now? Because I know they put up like a knoll around
I can see the lights, no problem.
Okay.
I mean, where I am, all you have to do is look out my front door and you see it lit up.
I
told you when we first moved there, we're like, I wonder if that's like a shopping center or something over there. No, it's just a state prison.
State prison. Is there any vantage point at which you could see like the yard?
Sure. Yeah.
Could if you were to fly a drone up high enough.
Oh, yeah.
You could.
Oh, yeah.
Well, really? I have a drone.
Get video of them.
Yeah. But
what are you waiting for?
But Bill, it's Preston Elliott from the Preston and Steve show.
Little speaker on my drone.
Remember we tried for years to get you on the show?
There is, but the stretch of road that drives by with the clearest view, they built up like a levee of sort, like a berm. Because there are houses by there and it's kind of unsightly.
Yeah.
So you can't see directly. But at some points on the road, it goes up high enough where you can look in and you can see the
interesting.
Prison. Yeah.
Because he's allowed, obviously, from what he said, they're actually pretty cool to him there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not having any issues.
Well, and I wonder when they're going to move him because he's not staying there.
Right.
He's going to the sitcom jail.
Right.
Yeah.
Where I wonder if
all sitcom stars are kept.
Who all would be in there?
Well, wow. You would have, for a time, you would have had Dana Plato. You would have had Todd Bridges.
Todd Bridges.
You would have had, who else?
Hey, dude, Tim Allen would have been there.
Tim Allen would have been there for a
short time. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, really? What was
Tim Allen? Early on, he was a Coke dealer.
Coke dealer, yeah.
No,
but that was before he was on TV.
Oh,
he was just getting into comedy.
TV set you right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brings everybody on the right path. All right, so anyhow, what else we have here? Let's go to the Royals. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are set to welcome their first child together. Harry! Any day now. And when they do...
Harry!
Meghan...
Your hands are freezing!
One of the greatest sort of just side jokes in a movie that actually gets me every time.
Yeah.
They're freezing. Well, Harry's freezing.
My hands
and
are numb.
Lloyd is wearing two sets of gloves.
Yeah.
His hands are sweating.
Yeah, yeah.
You've had two pairs of gloves this whole time?
Yeah.
What is it when they're just going...
That's from the scooter. And he's frozen to his back.
He's got the big frozen snot thing. Yeah. Back to the Royals.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Meghan is hoping to have 3 months off instead of the possible royal year that she could ask for.
From what?
Sorry. I didn't mean
you
to
just
sniff.
Had breakfast.
Yeah.
I burped yesterday.
Had a snot tart.
Figured I'd just do some snot sucking on this, this break. Shut up. A royal source tells The Sun, Meghan has made it very clear that she wants to return to work as soon as possible. She has huge amounts of energy, is extremely determined, and wants to be as hands-on as possible with her charities. In other news, her estranged father, Thomas, who famously canceled his plans to walk her down the aisle right before the wedding, will reportedly not be a welcome figure.
There's a bunch of bullcrap!
In the baby's life.
Of course he's not going to be. He hasn't shut up.
Yeah.
If he was to really... I think he needs to go... A year or two without anything, and then perhaps reach out to her, not through the media, and see if they can, you know, reforge those bonds.
Yep. A couple more quick things. Ben Affleck, as we were talking about earlier, with Jennifer Garner being one of the most beautiful woman in the world.
Beautiful in every sense.
Has signed on to direct and star in a movie called Ghost Army. It's a World War II film. From Universal Pictures. I love World War II.
Totally down with this. Yeah. And I was reading the subject matter, and I think he's a perfect director for it.
True Detective's Nick Pizzolatto penned the script, which is based on the Rick Beyer and Elizabeth Sales book, The Ghost Army of World War II, how one top secret unit deceived the enemy with inflatable tanks, sound effects, and other audacious fakery.
And it's completely true. You've seen specials on the History Channel, how they were able to make the Germans think we had far more tanks. And even to the point of like cardboard cutouts and things of that nature.
The Germans did some similar stuff, too.
Yeah.
It was a tactic that was used. But I'm interested in that stuff. Should be pretty cool.
You know, they used to also, during the Normandy invasion, they were dropping they were about 3 or 4 feet tall. They were soldiers, you know, little mannequin soldiers with the parachutes. And they had firecrackers that would go off once they landed. So, but to the Nazis at night, you can't tell size. It appeared to be legitimately real soldiers.
Mm-hmm. And then one last story. Kathy Griffin has signed on to host this year's Shorty Awards. She is a finalist herself in the Best Celebrity category. She's competing with Joe Biden, Jonah Hill, Lil Miquela, Reese Witherspoon, and Russell Brand. I don't know what the Shorty Award... Here it goes. It's
purely based on height?
They honor the best of social media by recognizing influencers, brands, and organizations on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and more. The 11th Annual Shorty Awards will take place May 5th at 6 p.m. at the PlayStation Theater at New York's Times Square.
So how many years ago were there too many awards?
Several years ago. By the way, Kathy Griffin, I saw a feature on, I think it was Sunday morning, several weeks ago, about her. She has become filthy rich.
Oh, really? How?
Yes.
How?
By doing live engagements. So she's not on TV anymore.
Right.
But she gets hired to come out and do her routine.
So like businesses and
regularly,
things?
And she's making tens of millions of dollars doing it. Ever since the whole Trump thing.
Yeah.
She's actually gained, she was, you know, ostracized from television, but she's found a whole other side of her career, and she just makes oodles of money. And they showed her at her house and everything, and it's massive. It's
wow.
pretty wild. So
that's wild.
Yeah. So
I
anyhow,
do that.
The show will also live stream on Twitter, YouTube, and at shortyawards.com. All right, we're ready for clips.
Really the highlight of the entertainment report.
Of course it is. From another section of the Marvel Universe, Cloak and Dagger features two teenagers dealing with their newfound superpowers. Here, Aubrey Joseph discusses how much input he had with his character. Here we go.
It's the only thing that surprised me was how much creative control they allowed us to have. You know, after we spent that amount of time working on Tyrone and Tandy, we have an idea of who they really are and, you know, what they would do or maybe what they wouldn't do. So it was just surprising. You know, that everyone is so down to just be a team and make sure that the best story is told.
I don't give a f***.
Cloak and Dagger airs tonight. 8 o'clock, that's on Freeform. Here's the next clip. In Chambers, a woman survives a heart transplant but begins to develop new personality traits, causing her to become obsessed with her donor. In this clip, Steven Alira, I guess?
Yes.
Talks about the toughest part of playing her character, Sasha.
For me, it was playing like emotional jumping jacks all day. It was, you know, it's going from ecstatically happy with your boyfriend to like scary, spooky demon things are happening and now you're terrified and like screaming bloody murder.
I don't give a f***.
By the way, her name is Steven Alira Rose. That is her full name.
Is this a supernatural thing here?
I don't know, but it's about a heart transplant and her taking on the personality. So who knows? Or she becomes obsessed with her donor. Chambers will be available for streaming on Netflix tomorrow. By the way,
there's a couple of zombie-ish and new horror movies debuting on Netflix.
Yeah.
There's a new one that's very Bird Box-ish. Did you see the coming attractions for that one?
Is the cover photo, whatever it will be for the preview, is have like a person with a gray messed up face?
That's one of them. Okay. Yeah, I don't know which one that is. Okay, yeah.
I don't know.
There's one that's actually like it's actually basically sounds like a remake or in the vein of A Quiet Place.
It's
Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci's in it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I love him, man. All right. Anyhow, that's what I got for you. Entertainment report this morning. Let us take a break. We want to come back in a little bit. And later on, your chance to win some money this morning. Remember, we're winding down with GoFundYourself, too. So today, tomorrow, and Monday, that's it. Don't miss those opportunities. 5 times a day. Today, tomorrow, and Monday. We start that at 8 o'clock. So we'll get the details for you in just a little bit. By the way, the name of that show is called The Silence, Steve.
Ah, there you go.
Stanley Tucci. Nick just pulled up that information. Hey, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us, all right?
Kathy Romano hosts the 12th annual Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids, Friday, May 3rd at True Beauty Concepts in Southampton, PA.
Hey, everyone, get your ponytails ready for the chopping block. We're asking you to cut your hair for a great cause, Wigs for Kids. Their mission, helping children look themselves and live their lives. You'll need at least 12 inches of hair to donate, and with what's left, the skilled stylists from 3 amazing hair salons, Gravity, David Arnold, and Tiare, will cut and style your new do. Go to PrestonandSteve.com for guidelines and to make a donation appointment.
Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids.
Refreshments provided by Metro Beverage Philadelphia and Panera Bread.
93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
We'll do the GoFundYourself 2 coming up around 8 o'clock, so get yourself set to win some money. It'd be nice. I saw this on BuzzFeed. This is great. You know, we've talked about odd things around the house before, and I'll give you an example, like the poop knife.
Oh, yeah. Which we found out is actually more common than people realize.
We thought it was like something from The Onion. That's clearly too ridiculous. But however, it is a family tradition.
Some people keep a knife in the bathroom in case their bowel movement's too big. You can use a knife, reach in the toilet, and cut it up so it flushes easier.
Like a Play-Doh Fun Factory.
Whatever. Okay. So I saw this list on BuzzFeed, and it is the weirdest rules that people had to follow while they were growing up. And there's some great examples, and I invite you to call in with anything similar to this or whatever you want to add to this list. So I'll give you a few examples here. We'll start with this. This person wrote in and said salt was for guests only.
So salt.
That's great.
Salt only came out when the guests were there?
Yep.
And what were they? What were they told? Did it say what they were told? Why they couldn't use it without guests?
Sometimes they don't explain why. Just that this
salt
is the way
was
it
for
was.
Guests.
So salt was for guests only. It says the actual use of spices was very looked down on in my house.
Oh my gosh!
So and was seen as a huge insult to my mom and dad, even though they're absolutely horrid cooks.
Did you ever hear of if somebody asks for the salt, you have to hand them the salt and the pepper?
That's considered proper
like etiquette. Okay.
Yeah, correct.
What is this?
If somebody says pass the salt, you're supposed to pass the salt and pepper at
the same
time.
Like
they're
supposed to stay together.
That's like an Emily Post thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did not know that. Yeah, I've been violating that all my life.
Yeah.
In fact, I rarely hand them the salt when they ask.
Once I found out about that, I started noticing people that do that more often. And they'll grab both of them and say especially if you're where there are other people. Strangers, maybe at like a wedding reception or something like that.
I always hand them my shoe.
Okay,
that's confusing. Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah.
All right, how about this? My dad made up this rule to stop my big brother from asking about getting a dog every 10 seconds. We had neighbors on both sides who already had dogs, so the rule was that only every other house in the neighborhood could have a dog.
Oh, yes, that's awesome.
That's great.
And he said my brother believed it for most of his life.
That was the rule.
Good idea.
Only every other house.
Every other house.
Yep.
Wow. That's actually,
Kathy, your mom
probably
would fall under this category. I mean, not another one I'm going to read, but the whole, you know.
As you're going through, I'm trying
to think.
There's
bugs in the candy. Don't eat those.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think of a weird rule that the only thing I can think of is like words we weren't allowed to say where you guys will probably be like we weren't allowed to say hate.
Okay.
Ever.
Yeah, you know what? Rochelle went through that.
Yeah, you could say the C word all the time.
When the kids were really young, she was like, you know, hate, we can't use that word.
Yeah.
And I eventually, after a while, I'm like, hang on a second. You can hate broccoli, okay? That's okay. But hating another person is maybe a different story.
Right.
Or try to find another word that's not
Let
quite
daddy
so harsh.
Do that.
Yeah, right. That's my job.
I'm the hater.
That went pretty long. Like, I could see how that's kind of like, you know, fade away. And yes, you can hate broccoli. But I mean, I remember being like in high school and still not being able to say that, whether it was broccoli or not.
We had to provide a list at the end of the week of everyone we hated. And if we hadn't added names to it, we were sent to our rooms.
Wow. Maybe that's why I hate everything now, because I wasn't allowed to when I was
a
kid.
Yes, overcompensation. Right? All right, I love this one. This person said, I couldn't recline or lay my body down at all if my boyfriend was over.
Oh.
My mom thought that me laying down would give them thoughts.
Yes.
Seductive?
Wait, no, that was definitely 100% a rule in my house.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes. You could not lounge or look comfortable.
In front of boys. A boyfriend or any boy?
Or just a male.
What about if your brothers had
Different.
A male?
That's different.
No, I'm saying not your brothers, but your brothers had friends over.
No, they weren't allowed to either.
Listen to this. The person goes on to say, I once put my feet up on the couch while my fiance was over. And my mom got pissed because she thought I was trying to turn him on.
Oh, my God. Take a look at this.
Yeah.
Can you see my cooter up there?
Wow.
My mom wrote that.
It's funny how, but you know, that's in many ways, that's a carryover from what they were taught.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know.
Dude, a lot of traditions are that. Here's another one. My grandmother said not to poop during a lightning storm.
Why?
Because a bolt of lightning might strike the pipe and electrocute me.
Well, there is
all the bathroom stuff.
All the bathroom stuff.
Showers. Yeah. Being on the phone.
Douching.
Douching while during an electric storm.
The phone thing, it was like when we had a cordless phone, it was like, it's not going to...
Was there any merit to that ever? Because you're honestly, at that point, you are hardwired. There are phone lines. Was there any potential risk of being on the phone at that time?
I don't know.
Not really. No, I mean, like, it's like being in a car when the lightning strikes. People used to think that it was the tires that protected you.
Right.
It's really not. The lightning is so strong that it's going to be able to pass through half an inch of rubber to get to the, you know, to the ground. It's the frame that surrounds you in a car.
It's okay. I have all weathers on.
Yeah. And the tires aren't protecting you from a lightning strike.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen to this one. This is out of the UK. It says, I wasn't allowed to put sugar in my tea because my mom told me that when you go to prison, they don't let you have sugar, so it will make prison that much harder for you.
Why are you prepping for prison?
Oh, prepping your kids for prison.
You know, when you eventually end up in prison, you want to make sure tea is much more. Oh, no, I see what she says.
Yeah. So you'll be able to
this
deal.
Is discouragement to end up in prison.
Well, no.
Or am I reading this wrong?
I think it's to prepare for prison. If you get locked up, then you won't have to be so upset about the fact that they don't have sugar.
Now
you're
already
used
okay,
to it.
Okay, I'm cool, guys. And my mom made sure I didn't have sugar, so please.
And he goes on to write, number one, thanks for having so much faith in me, Mom.
Yeah, seriously.
And number two, I'm pretty sure you're allowed sugar for your tea in prison.
Does it say whether that mom addressed forced prison sodomy?
No, he doesn't go into great detail on this.
We weren't allowed to put sugar in cereal.
Okay, just because it's unhealthy and it's not good for you.
Were you allowed to eat sugary cereal?
No.
Right. No.
Yeah, Cheerios. You guys were a Kix Cheerios, house. Raisin Bran, Kix.
Yeah, Kix was when we went crazy.
And what was the other one? The is it Chex?
Rice Chex?
Yeah.
Man. Oh, man.
I would add sugar to Frosted Flakes.
What?
Preston. I mean, the frosting is sugar on the flakes.
We would eat sugar cubes as cereal.
Wow.
That's, yeah. That,
When I would go to my cousin's house,
at the end of the cereal, you'd drink the milk.
When my cousins had Fruit Loops and every sugary cereal that existed, it was like going to Shangri-La.
Okay, these are so great. Here's another. These are strange rules that you had to grow up with. Feel free to call them with yours. I'll get to these calls in a moment. This one says, my dad had diverticulitis. That's pockets in the intestine.
Yes,
and couldn't eat sesame seeds among other things.
It'd be excruciating.
So when we would eat fast food sandwiches, everyone had to give their bottom buns to Dad in exchange for his top buns. However, this reasoning was never explained, and it was this way from before I was born. So I was literally in college before I realized that that wasn't normal. I thought it was just Dad privilege to have two bottom buns.
So, okay, they never bothered to explain
it. They didn't explain it to the kid.
That's funny.
Just give Dad your bottom bun.
So were the kids all eating hamburgers that were top and bottom round buns?
Sesame seeds, I guess. I don't know. Which, actually, that'd be pretty cool. If you had two top buns, I'd do that. More sesame seeds, I'm on board. Let me go to some calls, and I'll go to Tyler. Hey, Tyler, good morning.
Hey, good morning, you crumb bums.
Hey, crumb bums. All right, so the strange rule you had growing up.
Yeah, so it kind of falls very indicative of Kathy's probably upbringing, but every just about until I had my license, I had to open every public door that my father brought me to with my elbows.
Yep.
you had to do the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like we didn't get in trouble if we didn't, but like, yeah, it was kind of like, oh, you touched the door.
How would you, like, for a pull door, how do you do that?
That's problematic.
Yeah, so stand in front of it, put your arms kind of up to your neck, and place your elbows against the door and open it up.
Dude, we didn't go that far.
Yeah, you're going to snap your spine trying to open a door.
Yeah,
but so what about the concept? Were you ever told to just have like a tissue or a handkerchief at the ready?
I did not. Wasn't all that smart. However, if it was a push door, I would boot it.
Okay. You'd boot it. Yeah. Okay.
It was mainly so for us, it was mainly leaving a public bathroom. Like, you just washed your hands, so don't touch the door. And then also, and I'm not kidding, if it was a restaurant and the windows had like fingerprints or marks on them, it meant it was dirty. So we couldn't touch those doors either.
Wow. Let's go to Kurt next. Hi, Kurt. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
So this actually isn't my rule. It's the rule that my wife grew up with.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure she's actually listening to you guys on her drive-in right now.
All right, let's have it.
She's probably screaming at the radio. Her mother forced her and her sister, anytime they had a snack, to have to eat it on the kitchen mat, right? So, like, anytime they had to sit on the kitchen mat, rather, to eat the snack. Not that big of a deal, I guess, but anytime they would go.
You mean like a doormat or something?
Yeah, you know, like in kitchens, there's like the mat on the ground.
Yeah, if you're standing in front of the sink or something like that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they had to sit on that to have a snack. They were so well trained
that when they would go to friends' houses, anytime it was snack time, they'd run to the kitchen mat, and the mothers would just be like, what have you done to these children?
So they would walk into the kitchen and see these kids sitting by the sink on the mat?
Yeah, waiting for a snack.
Yeah, you know what?
You know this case?
No. But just because my kids are slobs, I try to implement, like, you're not allowed to eat in this room or that
room.
Or on
the couch.
Or on the couch.
Or with your legs spread.
And then you find crumbs everywhere, and you're like, I guess they did it anyway.
Well, and so, you know, my son is famous for sitting in front of the TV to play Fortnite, and he just leaves all his stuff there. And then, all right, you got to go to bed. And he leaves everything that he was eating and drinking in front of him. And I'm like, dude, you're going to kill our dog. You're going to kill our dog because you're leaving all this nonsense, you know, like sugar-free whatever. And dogs are allergic to aspartame. Not allergic. Yeah, what?
There are issues. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. There are issues. It's not exactly pertaining to this, but I told you, my wife will take.
Yes.
We're in a house with 10 cats. 10 cats. And she'll have a part of her turkey sandwich and just put the turkey sandwich by the sink with the remainder of it. I'm like,
you're so close.
What are you doing? What? And then every time you go in now, you see little paw prints on top of the counter. I'm like, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can see your issue with the dog. The dog gets trained now to know.
Yeah.
The kid's going up to bed. Go eat.
So I've tried to, and I just, you know, there's no follow through on my part. So it's partly my fault. But it's like,
can you create a fake rule?
Well, so they were like sitting on the couch eating like cereal and soup. And I'm like, no. You have to eat soup at the kitchen table. You have to eat cereal at the kitchen table. Because, like, I don't want milk spilling on the couch and then it gets all stinky and gross.
No, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
All right, let me go next to Kate. Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Kate, Gadzooks here. What's the weird rule that you grew up with?
So we were not allowed to touch anything that started with the letter W.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
Come on. What?
Yes. And we also weren't allowed in our living room. It was for guests only. Like, we had to stay out of the living room.
All right, back up.
White carpets.
Back up to the W thing.
Yes.
Why?
Why? My mom hated, I don't know, she was a stay-at-home mom, and she hated fingerprints.
Wait a second. All right. I
don't understand. Things that start with a W.
Yeah, so white, like, fingerprints would get easily on like the windows or like the wall or the trim and stuff.
So
like
window
that.
Walls white.
What about a washcloth?
Mm-hmm. What?
What about a washcloth?
Oh boy, yeah, she thoroughly encouraged that.
Yeah, but that starts with a W.
I don't think it was everything that was a W. It was probably just a rule in the house, like windows, wall, white, don't touch it.
Don't touch anything that starts with the letter W. I was, you know.
Yeah. So we had white carpets throughout our living room and dining room, and we were like, oh, we're on the carpet.
They're like,
I understand that whole not touching things like that. The Kostanowiczes growing up, there were rooms in their house that were completely sealed up in plastic. All the living room furniture was sealed in plastic. And there was one room where you could feel remotely comfortable, but the kids... You know how you play the lava game at home?
Oh, yeah.
The kids would not. There was a mat of plastic with carpet on each side. Those kids were like they were like the Walendas walking a tightrope. They were mortified of stepping onto the carpet. I'm like, what the F? The parents had them so drilled that they were terrified of their own home.
This whole concept is very, very foreign to me because I feel like we had like no rules. You know, our one, I think, rule was no farting at the dinner table.
That was it?
And that was pretty much it. Everything else was like, ahead.
Yeah, we were pretty wide open. I can't think of any weird rules that we had. Maybe
what about laying down in a seductive way in front of boys, Preston?
Something will come to me eventually. Let me read a couple more of these, and I'll get some more calls. Here's a good one. No violent video games unless they're about history. So, you know, like World War II.
Well, that's kind of, I can
so
see.
So on and so forth.
If you're killing Nazis, that's okay.
Yeah.
You're killing zombies. Well, yeah.
Zombies.
I know some people have some rules. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's another one. I could only buy things if I was buying them for a birthday or Christmas gift for somebody else. Mind you, this was my own money I earned from my own job. My mom knew exactly how long it took me to get home from school, so if I stopped at the store, she knew, and I'd be in trouble.
That's a control freak of a mother.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We my son has a part-time job, and we have him put all of that money into savings.
Right, but the getting home thing and knowing that they went to the store, and
right.
That's
well, then they got to start running.
Mom.
Yeah.
But we do, you know, allow him to use our money to pay for gas. And right. pay for,
can
and,
he buy himself, like, a thing now and then?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But he always, because he has a debit card, so but he will always call Rochelle and tell her, hey, I'm going to stop at Wawa and get a hoagie. I'm like, we don't need that. But anyway, that's what we do.
That's a good kid. Yeah. So that's like my...
I just bought a pint of milk and a cow's tail.
That's like my daughter. Kinda like that. She asks for permission for everything, I swear to God. It's like, Can I download this app, please? Can I call this person?
I'm like, aww. Yeah, good.
Yeah. So whenever she acts up, I go, but you're the good one. And then my son's like, dude, I'm right here. And I'm like, I know. Your sister's the good one.
How about this?
You're on thin ice.
This one says, these are, by the way, weird rules you grew up with. We were not allowed to use the front door. Ever.
What?
There was a metal screen on it with a deadbolt that needed a key for either side.
What about a fire?
My stepdad kept the key, and even visitors had to go to the back through the side gate.
Why?
I don't know. They don't explain why, but that was just...
Don't ever go through that door.
Yeah, don't go through the front door for whatever
weird.
It is. Let me see here. I'm going to go to Susan with a weird rule. Hey, Susan, good morning.
Good morning. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right. What's the strange rule you grew up with, Susan?
In my family's house, we were not allowed to take a shower. I finally took a shower when I was in high school. I think it's because my mother didn't want to deal with water spots around the shower, so we had to take baths.
Get a squeegee.
It's probably to conserve water.
Yeah,
you
probably.
Waste... No,
it was because of the cleaning aspect, and I had to wash my hair in the sink, kitchen sink.
That's effing nuts.
You know what though? But I used to do that all the time.
I mean, we did that when I was a kid. I remember washing my hair in the sink.
Well, you clean your food,
but not taking a shower. And I was thinking the same thing. You know,
I was
maybe saving
conserve water,
conserving
yeah.
water. But no, water spots. Water spots drive Rochelle crazy too.
Oh, me
on the
too.
Shower,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we have I squeegee every time I get out of the shower.
Oh my God,
are you serious?
I do too.
Jay squeegees now too.
I have a squeegee.
Really?
I will catch crap if I have not squeegeed out my shower.
I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you, Susan.
And what, you Casey? Guys are prisoners in your own life.
Oh, no, because I have an entire room full of Batman statues.
Yeah, yeah. You're no prisoner. Yeah.
But you too. Kathy and Steve, you are definitely, you guys have that kindred spirit of super tidy.
Well,
and,
yes.
And very, yeah. very...
Yeah.
I don't like water spots. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yours
know.
Are organized Batman. Mine's organized shoes.
Yes. And even my shoes are organized.
Let's go to Anne. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Anne, what do you want to share with us?
My mother would lock every single cupboard and closet in the house with a key. Even the deep freeze was locked. Every time we wanted something, we'd have to ask her for the keys.
Wow. Every time? So every closet in the house was locked. Was there ever an explanation for this?
Even the toilet paper was locked away.
The toilet paper was locked away. Oh, my God. So your mother was...
Even clean towels. Everything.
Clean towels.
Were locked away.
Was it to not overuse?
No, she just didn't want anyone to mess up her closets. That was her thing. She was crazy, basically.
So here's the explanation. She was a stark raving lunatic.
And would she keep an inventory of everything?
You know what? When we went on trips, yes, she'd have a written inventory in triplicate. She'd have carbon paper between them and write everything down in the suitcase and keep a copy on her.
Wow. So that's obsessive. Yeah, that's you know, but those kind of people become hoarders. You know, that's a little over the top. In fact, that's a lot over the top, but that's funny.
And where are you from?
I'm from South Africa.
Okay.
I love your accent.
Wonderful accent.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann.
She Preston. Walked around with a bunch of keys, and she'd lose the keys, and the hunt would be on for the keys. So like all three kids, everybody looking for the keys, because we couldn't do anything without.
Ann, did your mother look like a high school custodian?
She looked like a warden. We called her
with all the keys?
Yeah, she had a big ring of keys. Wow. All right, thanks, Ann. Appreciate it.
I did remember something, Preston, from my neighbor was one of these control, you know, growing up.
We got a color TV. This is years ago. Remember, I'm 1,000 years old. And the color TV, and a couple of, most of the houses in the neighborhood had color TVs and blah, 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 you know. And they had a black and white TV. Those kids weren't allowed to come over to our house to watch TV because, and this was the explanation she gave the kids, they haven't perfected color TV yet.
Oh, they want they didn't want them to see an inferior product?
That was it.
Oh, my
like, you
God. Don't,
you're wasting your time. They haven't perfected it yet.
Wow.
And the kid, okay. the kids would walk in, and if the TV was on, they would leave.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
it was wild.
I had neighbors that were not allowed to watch TV. They had a TV in their home, and they used it to watch baseball games and Sesame Street, and that was it. Yeah. Like, it wasn't even plugged in, like, okay. the parent, you know? But I got to tell you.
Meanwhile, Nick left his on for 5 years. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I got to tell you, we had a lot. They were a lot of fun. They were very naturey, and you know, they all, you know, took us to like hiking and all that sort of stuff. We had a great time, but they were not allowed to watch TV.
Okay.
In fairness, had I turned that television off, it was difficult to turn back on. Dude, so that's why. You. So there was intent behind it.
There are extenuating circumstances.
Thank you. I've gotten a new TV since.
Right, so, with an on and off switch.
And I can turn that off at will. Yeah.
But you could actually even unplug it.
The thing that I was going to bring up, which I've told you guys many times, was the no Tony Danza rule in my house. There was no television shows at all with anything Tony Danza related. And every now and then he would show up on, like, say, Sesame Street.
The hell?
We'd get in trouble for that.
So to that TV thing, my wife... Her family for years, they had one black and white TV set, and this is, you know, well into the perfection of color TV, and they had the parents specifically picked very uncomfortable chairs for them to sit down in like this stark basement room, and that they had very limited TV time. Mm. And so right now, that's why my wife sleeps all night with the TV on.
Okay.
I mean, she can't get enough of it.
A few other calls here. I'm going to go to Renee next. Hi, Renee. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Renee. What was the weird rule in your house growing up?
In 1980, my dad had season tickets to the Phillies.
Uh-huh.
And he would take my brother to the games. And I always wanted to go, not because I had any interest in baseball, just because my brother was going and I wanted to go instead. So he told me that they didn't let kids into Vet Stadium that were under the age of 10.
Oh, man, that's just a lie.
Yeah.
That's just your dad lying to you.
That's not a rule. It's a lie.
Yeah, they don't like kids at baseball games. They don't want kids at baseball games.
What's that, Renee?
They won the World Series that year.
That's right. When did you find out that was indeed a lie that your dad was telling you?
I went to a friend's house later that year, and they were taking their daughter, and she was like 6. And I said, wait, you can't take her. She's only 6. They don't let them in if they're under 10. And her mom was like, what are you talking about?
And how embarrassing for you when you thought
I
it was
went
the...
Home and I said, Mom said they're taking her to the game, and she's...
I remember, and we've talked about this, the sort of flippant nature that I guess you guys as parents have to sort of throw out now and then just to stop your kids from bugging you for things.
Yeah.
And I told you the story of my friend Dennis told his son, can we go to Chuck E. Cheese? Can we go to Chuck E. Cheese? Can we go to Chuck E. Cheese? Chuck E. Cheese blew up.
Yeah.
Right.
Chuck E. Cheese blew up. Uh-huh. And then I remember like a year later, you know, and we were passing, and I was in the car with him and the son, and I go, look at that, new Chuck E. Cheese. And she goes, don't go in there. They blow up.
Let me go. I got to talk to Gina because I don't quite understand this from what I'm reading here. Hi, Gina. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? So what is the what's the odd rule?
Okay, so we weren't allowed to use the clicker, which the remote.
Okay, for
my
your
dad called it the clicker.
Television, yeah.
Yeah, so he would tape the one that worked the cable and the... to the backside of the one that worked the TV, sticking to a paint stirrer.
Sticking to stick. A paint stirrer?
You're like a stick? That... Like a paint stirring stick?
What did that
do? Yeah, like, it's so he always knew where it was, and we wouldn't touch it.
How could you, how is he aware of you touching it simply by having it taped to a paint stick?
Because there was 8 of us, so every time we touched it, one of us would lose it.
Okay. It's not a really foolproof method, but
he just made it bigger and a little bit more difficult to probably slide between the couch cushions or whatever.
It's the bathroom at a gas station rule.
Right. All right.
Thanks,
can
Gina.
Can I ask you about remote control etiquette?
Yes.
All right. So, because I think this is pretty standard, and you don't even—it's like an unspoken rule. But you don't touch the remote in somebody else's home. Correct?
No, you do not.
Yeah. Okay.
And you do, and oh, you do not touch stereo equipment or yeah. home theater equipment okay. or any electronics or anything of any nature.
Yeah.
I actually have were so irrevocably effed up by a house guest
yeah.
that I just bought a new one.
Yeah. I've never had anybody do that before.
Oh, my God. Okay. I was
it's an unspoken rule. That's why, because sure. everybody understands it. My friend's father-in-law takes the remote when he's at his house.
Yeah.
And because, like, so he's got to stick up his butt about commercials. So, like, so we're over there a few weeks ago, and we were watching a sporting event, and when it went to commercials, he would take the remote and mute it. And right. then, like, so, and then my buddy told me, he's like, dude, he sends me a text message. He goes, does this every single time. He comes over, he grabs a remote, he turns the volume down to so, the level that he likes.
Whatever he, the house sets the rules for the television and all of that. You can ask, yeah. certainly, if you want to, but you just never, don't take, you just don't grab a remote.
As a matter of fact, I was at my brother's on Sunday, and somebody wanted to turn something on, and the remote was right there. I didn't grab the remote and change it. We grabbed it and gave it to him for him to change it.
Yes.
It's not.
No.
No.
I will kill you dead.
Here's a couple other from BuzzFeed. I like this one. I was never allowed to leave a drink in the car because, according to my mother, someone could poison it.
What?
Technically, that's correct.
Yeah,
conceivably, maybe. Someone could poison.
An assassin could also break into your home and poison any drink that you left outside.
That's the one steadfast rule with assassins. Don't poison in home.
Okay.
He's always in cars.
It's like the remote.
Yeah.
He's always been overly paranoid about safety, but that rule is still my favorite one. let's see here. How about this? We could watch Freddy movies, but not Jason movies.
Well, there's a big distinction there. One had quippy comebacks, and the other one was silent.
No, this was because my mom believed that the Friday the 13th movies were satanic, but a Nightmare on Elm Street movies were just for fun.
Oh.
That's funny.
Oh, I told you this along those lines. A friend of mine was not allowed to watch Hogan's Heroes. Because they were German and it made fun of the Germans.
Okay. I wasn't really allowed to watch MTV.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, like it wasn't like a hard rule, but because I remember my cousin from New York would come down all the time, stay with us, and she would always put it on and it was allowed to stay on. But like if I was home by myself and I put it on, my mom would be like, change that crap.
Yeah, I actually wasn't allowed to watch He-Man. I wasn't like, my mom was, because she's very Catholic, anything that was like... like wizards and anything that wasn't like God.
Harry Potter caught some of that crap. Yeah. You remember there were a lot of people.
And Dungeons and Dragons.
You can't have, listen.
People thought you were summoning, you know,
and
demons.
They were right, but it was fun.
On that, I saw a story just a little while ago. Casey, the Duggars, 19 Kids and Counting, whatever. So they're not allowed to use the term deviled eggs in their house.
What about devil's
they say? They're called yellow angel pockets.
Shut up. Yellow angel pockets?
Because this is the Lord God.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
What about devil's food cake? Probably not, right?
I would imagine not. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
what about molesting your sister? Are you allowed to do that in the Duggar household?
Yeah, they did that.
Yeah.
Well, they did do that. Yeah. Let's see here. Here's
just
one.
Frowned upon.
Says, my mom had me believing the Great Pumpkin from the classic It's Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Special existed. The rules of Halloween were that I could only pick 10 candies from my trick-or-treat bag, and the rest had to be given to the Great Pumpkin. In reality, the Great Pumpkin was my dad's work cubicle.
That has an element of fun to it, though, in that you're appeasing this this pumpkin demon.
Well, and they're keeping the kids from overdoing the candy is part. But that's the day you can overdo the
candy. Did you grow up with anybody who had to, like, for their birthday, like, keep one or two gifts and donate the other gifts to
never.
Yeah, we did.
I did have the
Foley's did that.
I had Jehovah's Witnesses in our school.
And they don't celebrate birthdays.
No birthdays, no Christmas, no holiday. And when the other kids would bring in cupcakes for birthdays and whatever else, they couldn't even celebrate that.
Yeah, they couldn't participate. They always had to sit in the principal's office.
Exactly.
If we went to assemblies and things like that.
Yeah, Michael Jackson was Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, was he?
Yes, he was. Yes, I am.
I know somebody who, Halloween candy, they can keep, I think it's five pieces. And then the rest goes.
Who is that, Chase?
Five pieces.
Well, how can you possibly teach a kid about how to be a proper glutton?
Right.
Right. Right.
But it's just weird that she still lets them go trick-or-treating and they collect all the candy. They go, they have fun with the kids, but then they can pick their favorite five pieces.
Five is, you can find five pieces of candy in the average couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should probably do that too. You guys can have five, and I will have the rest.
Yes. There you go.
You know, so my the family that wasn't allowed to watch TV down the street,
right.
They also later on would celebrate big holidays a week early. So Christmas was a week early. Santa always came a week early, so that when Christmas came around, they would get the true meaning of Christmas. You know, the birth of Jesus Christ, and then the same thing with Easter. They would
Greek Orthodox celebrates usually a week.
Sunday for them.
Right.
So do they understand that December 25th was just kind of arbitrarily picked, so we have a day to celebrate it on?
I think
I
understood that.
Okay.
You
can celebrate the birth of Jesus anytime you want to.
Even Jesus said so.
Yeah.
Come on. Dudes. But in fact, I think the exact words were dudes. Yeah. Anytime you want.
It was their rule and whatever. You
That's
know?
Fine.
Yeah. Let me go. And we got to take a break here in just a second. But what was the one? Oh, yeah. I like this one. I'm going to go to Mario. Hey, Mario. Good morning.
Hey, he's autistic now. You leave him alone.
What's that from?
Wait, what is that from?
It's from you. You say your mom.
Oh, my God. Her cat. Yeah. Precious. Oh. Remember I told you my mom
my God.
She had a cat for autism.
He has
autism.
Your cat has autism?
That's funny because my wife complains about how stupid my dog is, and I say that exact thing.
Mario, what was the rule? What was the rule in your house?
So my dad, when I was younger, God rest his soul, but he wouldn't let us put anything warm or remotely warm in the fridge or freezer. Whether it was soups or you know, chili
leftovers or something like that. Okay.
Yeah. So much so to the point where he was afraid to have it near anything after he had thought it cooled down enough because he didn't want to spoil any food or waste any extra electricity.
I'm gonna back you up on this, Mario. We had a similar rule years and years and years ago. I can remember you would take something that was hot or whatever, you put it in the fridge. The fear was you were countering the cooling properties of the refrigerator.
Oh my God.
And then eventually that faded away.
Right. Wow. It's so much so to the point where me and my wife got together and it was like one of the first times she had made like extra soup or whatever. And she goes to put it in the fridge or the freezer after dinner. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? You gotta let it cool down.
That stuff, and you end up ingrained with it.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Mario.
You laughed at me. Now I look silly, but it's okay.
That's all good. Thanks, bud.
I just got a text from my wife, and after reading it, yeah, I totally agree. She says, all I hear in these rules are some poor mothers just trying their best to keep order in a house full of children. She goes, I don't judge any of them. And I do. I get it because they just do whatever the hell they want.
Well, but at some point, you should explain to the kids or relinquish those rules once they're old enough to be responsible.
Yes.
You know what I mean? As opposed to some of these people go into adulthood thinking that that's the way you have to behave, you know?
Or else you're Carrie's mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your filthy pillows.
When your kids are at the neighbor's house running into the dog cage to eat a snack, you know, because that's how they're trained, like a dog.
or sitting on the mat in front of the sink. Yeah, when you start to become socially awkward.
Yeah.
You said Carrie. My mom used to joke with us and be like, they're all going to laugh at you.
Oh, no.
They're all going to laugh at you. God. It's like Bill Weston with soup.
Yeah.
They're going to make you eat soup.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know what? We're going to keep going. We're getting close to 8 o'clock for the Go Fund Yourself 2. So if we take a commercial break and then come back, it's going to be way after 8. So we're going to go with a few more. And then I'm going to do the information dispensing so you can possibly win some money today.
Yes.
But there's a lot of great calls and more on this list. These are weird rules that you grew up with. I'm going to go to Ed next. Hi, Ed. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right. What weird rule did you grow up with?
Okay. So, you know, Coca-Cola had a line of those glasses, right? That had like the bell shop shape at the top.
Yeah. Love them.
Well, my dad had one that he used every day. No one was allowed to touch it.
Don't touch dad's Coke glass.
Right. And it was to the point where my mom got upset when she broke it, when she washed it.
Oh. So I think there is probably do you have something in the house, Preston, that is considered
mine?
Yeah, that is just your favorite, something like that would be akin to this Coke glass. I think there's something in my wife has a tea mug that I never use because it's her favorite.
Well, do you guys have your chair? That's that spot.
I have my places. Yeah. You know, we have our But no, no.
I feel like, so when I was growing up, and it wasn't, you know, it was like, damn it, this is my chair, but like...
I work all day.
Yeah, the recliner was my dad's, and if my dad came into the room and I was in the recliner, I respectfully got up.
Yeah.
I get none of that in my house. None of it!
Do you have a claimed spot?
Yes.
A favorite?
So here's the thing.
Get out of the chair.
Now, if my family walks into the room and I'm not in my attempted claim spot... Well, why aren't you in your spot? Why don't we go, oh, this is dad's spot over here. How come you're in this spot? I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to murder you. In your sleep.
It happens.
Yes.
I'm going to kill you while you sleep tonight.
I will go to Diana. Hi, Diana. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Diana. Thanks for hanging on. What's up?
So my parents, this may be something that Casey can relate to. My parents are very, very Catholic and, you know, follow all the rules and so forth. And when we were young, before we went on any trips, you know, airplanes, anything like that, we had to go to confession. So in case the, you know, plane crashed and died. We
oh,
my
God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. I know. Yes, I hear that.
Never. So no.
When I got to college, and it was senior year of college, and we were going on a trip. Our rugby team was you know, flying for a trip. And I was talking to friends. I was like, well, I got to do this. I got to get my homework. I got to pack, and, you know, and then I got to go to confession. And friends were like, why? And I was like, well, because you have to go to confession before you get on an airplane. And they're like, yeah, no, literally no one else does that. Like,
my neighbors, like, we were, you know, the neighborhood was Catholic, but, you know, for the most part. And my neighbors would do that as well. And it's time to clean your soul, you know, in case we die.
Yeah. Right, right. Let's try. Dan has been on hold for a long time. Let me go to him. Hi, Dan. Good morning, sir.
Hey, what's up?
Yo, bud. Thank you. Appreciate it. What's your odd rule, strange rule you grew up with?
Random quick question first.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the rock and roll, that thing?
It very rarely
comes in and out. Yeah.
Just throw it in.
I don't know. I was wondering, because I remember whenever anyone did that.
There you go. We did it for you.
Yeah. Perfect.
Right.
So when I was growing up, my parents' house, for some reason, me and my girlfriend could go downstairs in the basement, door shut, but we couldn't go up in my room. But then it was the opposite. My sister, and if she had a boy over, wasn't allowed in the basement, but she could stay up in her room.
Was it that your parents didn't want you both banging in the same room?
Ew.
That's probably it. You didn't think of that, did you?
This way we're minimizing the semen spray. No, the...
I didn't think about it like that.
No, it is weird, and there's always seems to be...
Thanks, Dan.
...different rules for the... Because we were all brothers, you know, but having sisters, I don't... There seem to be different rules for different situations. Were you allowed, when you had a girl... I had the same thing.
We could go down
to the basement...
Well, one time, yeah, I had a girl over. This is a girl that wrote my term papers for
me. Yes, yeah.
We went in my bedroom, and I closed and locked the door. And
what?
Oh, yeah. Mom did not like that at all. And we were making out on the bed. You know, of course that's what we were doing. But
you also walked in there with a dwarf and a pound of coleslaw.
But we were, the basement, yeah, you were allowed to go down into for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know why the basement is seemed as less... Because actually, the basement was worse than my bedroom.
Yeah. I mean,
you can hear people
coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I didn't have like many girlfriends growing up, but there was one time when I was in high school. It was a girl, and she was pretty, pretty girl. And we were in her basement, and like I sometimes think about it, I'm like, dude. She wanted to, like, make... And we didn't make out down there. We played ping pong.
Yeah. You have Stratego?
All right. Sorry.
Oh. All right. It's 8. I got to do the MMR Go Fund Yourself. But real quick, one last one from this list. It says, this wasn't me. It was my friend / neighbor. When my dad would get home from work, my friend would have to go home. His parents told him that because that meant that it was dinner time and therefore he should come home. However, him, being a child, didn't grasp that portion of the rule. He only understood, come home when the dad gets home. And this translated in my friend being terrified of my father.
Aww.
If he saw my dad turning into the driveway, he would drop whatever we were doing and sprint home because he thought my dad was a bad man.
Wow, they should have clarified that.
Yeah, maybe so. He didn't get that part, so he was out of there. All right, thank you for sharing. We appreciate it, and I'm sure you have some of your weird rules that you're making your kids follow as well. But we got to do this.
93.3 WMMR, Philadelphia.
Fund you, too.
Fund you, too.
So we have a word for you that could net you $1,000 today. In fact, within this hour. The key word for the MMR of Fund You 2 Nationwide contest is compete. C-O-M-P-E-T-E. And you have until 8:15 to enter it via text to the special contest short code, which is 45911. Or you can enter using the MMR mobile app or via the contest page, WMMR.com. And if you do it that way, you can enter... For you will be entered to win the $10,000 grand prize. Pretty sweet deal. So we're going to call you if you're randomly selected and you win $1,000. Complete contest rules available at WMMR.com. Once again, the word is compete. C-O-M-P-E-T-E. Good luck from A&T Subaru and MMR. Coming back with the B-Files, so make sure you stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We are going to do the Bizarre File, then we have a couple of guests we're going to talk to about an event. Let's get to it.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds and Tax Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Where do we begin? So many stories. We will start with this. This is pretty wild. Usually, you would think electricity is the only thing that can help someone who is having an urgent heart issue.
Yes.
But it seems that running over a pothole might help just as much.
Awesome.
Paramedics near Omaha were racing to a hospital to save a 59-year-old man last Monday. The man's heart had reached 200 beats per minute during the 20-minute ride to the hospital, which is very dangerous. The ambulance hit a large pothole, and at that point, the man's heartbeat returned to a normal rhythm.
How wild is that?
According to the medics. A doctor who was interviewed said that the phenomenon...
And I can get erections.
The phenomenon is rare, but it does happen. I guess sometimes a certain, you know, jolt of your body like that.
Well, when they pound on, like, your chest, which they don't do anymore, but occasionally that can shock the heart, right?
Yeah, I don't know how that comes about.
If you hit someone in the face with a baseball bat, perhaps.
Try that next time. A woman, this is terrible. A woman fell to her death at the Grand Canyon South Rim on Tuesday. Again, this has happened.
Is this what I think it is? Selfie-related?
They haven't indicated that. Park rangers responded to reports of a person needing help near Pipe Creek Vista. The park said the 70-year-old woman fell from the rim before a rescue effort could be undertaken. A technical rescue team searched for the woman's body in a helicopter, discovered it had fallen 200 feet below the rim.
Jeez.
The body was recovered by a team of about 15 people, and the woman's name wasn't immediately released as officials waited to notify her family. Tuesday's, it's the fifth inside the park so far this year.
Is this excessive for a calendar year?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. This is the second involving a fall from the South Rim, by the way. On April 5th, a man died after falling 400 feet from the South Rim, and two people died at the National Park in a span of 2 days in March. One tourist died after falling from the rim of Eagle Point, and the other died in an unspecified incident.
The thing is, they warn you like crazy whenever you go to the Grand Canyon about this potential.
All right, so this one is very, very short. It's a story that Kathy sent me. Lower Merion police have just released surveillance video showing three suspects who stole medical equipment at Lankenau Hospital. The trio made off with almost $500,000 worth of Olympus colonoscopes. Whoa. For colonoscopies.
Yeah.
Looking in your butt, basically, is what these things are for. So
they sold, some people can't afford cable.
Nearly $500,000 worth of these things.
Wow.
what are you going to do with these?
Yeah, is there a black market for these
right. things? Right. And it seems a highly specific piece of equipment to pass, like, at a porn shop.
Maybe it's an extreme fetish that we don't know about. I don't know.
Honestly, I hope it is, because there's no other explanation.
Maybe the parts inside of it?
I don't know. Police say the suspects...
maybe just people like to put them in their butts?
No. They drove away in a newer model Jeep Wrangler with a hard top, so they are...
Well, that says it all.
They're looking for leads. Okay, this one is very, very interesting. We may get into a little further of this, but Pennsylvania's new official amphibian looks like something out of a haunted house. It's called a snot otter.
It's hideous.
Yeah. It's a 2-foot-long salamander that needs clean streams to survive. Governor Tom Wolf signed legislation on the 23rd, granting the honor to the Eastern Hellbender. It has many nicknames as well. It's an Eastern Hellbender. One of the nicknames is the snot otter. Also, the lasagna lizard and the mud devil.
This is a great day for wasting time.
This thing looks bizarre.
It almost looks like a slea stack.
Really?
A little slea stackish.
Maybe I saw something because
they had a mascot standing next to them that was supposed to be the thing.
Oh,
and I thought it looked a little slea stacky.
It looks kind of like a giant slug with feet to me.
It reminded me of Stranger Things.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the thing that crawls out of the kid's mouth?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you win.
He named it something after the Three Musketeers.
Yeah, D'Artagnan.
D'Artagnan?
Dart.
That was it. Yeah. So anyhow, that's our state amphibian.
Right. It's been a long time coming.
Police are asking for the public's help in finding two men. Casey, this made me think of you.
All right.
They say ran a quick change scam on a Walmart clerk where in order to distract the clerk... One suspect was dancing.
Oh, okay.
Because Casey uses that as a diversionary tactic with his kids.
So whatever questionable material comes up on TV, any unplanned nudity or whatever. Yes. Hey, look over there.
The incident resulted in a $20,000 or $2,000 loss to the store. When you originally told me about that, you go, hey, look at this crazy dance I'm doing over here. So they attempted to purchase 3 laptops in the electronics section and paid cash. The cashier counted the money. One of the suspects asked for the money back under the ruse that he may have given too much to the cashier. And the suspect in a gray shirt began counting it, but could be seen putting a portion of it back in his pocket. He then gave the cashier back the remaining amount. As all this happens, the second suspect started to dance off to the side. Police released video of the man dancing and surveillance shots of the suspect's faces. And police believe the man dancing intended to distract the clerk as the accomplice ran the scam. In the end, the clerk failed to recount the cash, and the man ended up getting away. One last story. It's on the disturbing side, and it's short, and I'm not going to get into full details, but 3 men were sentenced for up to 41 years in prison for having relations with multiple animals. Matthew Brubaker, Mark Mizenkoff, and Terry Wallace were all arrested in 2018 and charged with, listen to this, here's the list for you, being with 9 horses, a cow, a goat, and dogs.
Oh, 6 gerbils, 2 cats, a hamster, and a rabbit.
Over the past 5 years.
Wow.
This is in Lancaster, I believe.
Well, they've got them out there.
The Pennsylvania Pen.
Is it some sort of swingers club?
Were sentenced to 20 to 41 years in prison. So
I like when these freaks will say, well...
Yeah.
The animal likes it.
Yeah.
Why are you always telling me to f*** a goat, man?
Right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you.
That's chilling.
It is, isn't it? I probably shouldn't have ended on that one. But we're moving along to better and more positive things. We have 2 gentlemen who are here to promote this event that they're going to tell us about. And it's called BOMA Cops Helping Kids Day. With PAL, Police Athletic League, of course.
Great organization.
But I want to find out more about BOMA. So we have 2 gentlemen that are here. We have the Police Athletic League Executive Athletic League Executive Director. We have Ted Qualley. Is it Qualley or Qualley?
It's Qualley.
It's Qualley. And we also have from the Police Athletic League, the Commanding Officer Captain Jerome Thomas is here.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, no problem. So PAL is such a great organization. We've spoke to you guys for many, many years. You have an opportunity for kids who may not have an outlet for sports and community getting together and maybe distracting them from heading down a bad path. So you've been doing great work all these years. What's BOMA? What can you tell me about that?
So BOMA stands for the Building Owners and Managers Association. These are the people that run the Center City skyscrapers.
Okay.
And so it's a trade association. They count on their membership as not only the building managers, but the electricians, the carpenters. They're some of the most generous people, especially to PAL.
They are. I mean, a lot of times in donations and stuff we get out at the Camp Out for Hunger, these guys always step up. So and to Preston's point, this is such an integral and important thing. On many levels, not the least of which is to get kids interacting with police officers and seeing, you know, there's been a number of videos that have popped up recently of police officers playing basketball with kids or just interceding in certain things, and just that interaction, that those moments in time can be such a major turnaround in perception, and it's so good. So what's the event? The specifics here.
So the event is we'll be in 22. Buildings tomorrow.
Okay.
Think of the morning rush, right?
Yes.
And we will have officers there that are helping to raise awareness about the Police Athletic League, and our civilian staff and volunteers there collecting donations. And so Captain Thomas's entire unit will be out tomorrow in Center City. You'll see PAL vans all over the place. And it's just an opportunity for us to raise awareness and much needed dollars so that we can bring more cops into the lives of kids.
Okay. And is there a list of buildings where this will be?
There is a list of buildings, and we'll make sure to get that to you on your website. It's also available at phillypal.org. And some of these buildings, Commerce 1 and 2, and One South Broad, they're matching dollar for dollar every donation that's given. So your $1 awesome. Donation becomes two.
Excellent. So, Cap, can I call you Cap, by the way?
Absolutely.
I mean, we've been watching Captain America for the past few years. And it's a nice nickname. How long have you been in your position with Police Athletic League?
Well, I've been with the Police Athletic League since December.
Okay.
So I've been on the police department for 16 years serving the citizens of Philadelphia.
Right. And so this is fairly new, a new experience to you. How are you enjoying it so far?
I love it. I have an opportunity, to really, impact the lives of our young children, which is our vulnerable population. Events like BOMA Day are critical to the mission of PAL. So, I'm looking forward to being out there as well. I'm going to be between several of the buildings. And just come on out and, please support the PAL mission.
If people can't get out to tomorrow, or it's the buildings are not in their normal commute pattern, how can they make a donation in general?
You could just go to phillypal.org and click on the donate button. Any and all donations are more than welcome. We really appreciate everything that the people do for us.
So as you're out and about, and, obviously, Captain, you being you're relatively new to this, but as a police officer, I'm sure you've seen people who have had in their past interactions with the Police Athletic League. And have you had people tell you what a difference it made in their lives getting that exposure early on?
I have. I mean, I have an opportunity now in this position to talk with former PAL kids. Our mayor of Philadelphia is a former PAL kid, and we have a lot of success stories, So what PAL does, for the youth in Philadelphia, it's you can't even really measure it, because it's just so critical. We really pour a lot of time and a lot of our resources into our children. So
there's also education programs that you guys are involved in, too, right?
There are also. Yeah. Yes, you are correct. Philly Readers, myself and Ted were actually at the Harrogate PAL Center yesterday reading to some of our young children there. And we had a great time.
It's funny because we've talked about this on the show. When I was growing up, you'd always have, my mother, my father, and that's a police officer. If ever you need help or whatever. And maybe over the years we've strayed from that a bit, but it looks like there's a very, at least here in Philadelphia, a very proactive system to counter that and to reintroduce the positive aspects of what the police do in a neighborhood, and perhaps even encourage young people to consider a career in the police eventually on.
Absolutely. We do recognize that there on some level is a disconnect between law enforcement and the community. And, we're actively engaged in kind of reversing that trend.
Yeah. It seems to be, hopefully it's working.
And so, Ted, are we talking like the major skyline buildings tomorrow that you guys will be in?
Yes, we are. We'll be at the Comcast Center and 1 and 2 Logan. We'll be all over the place. Any of the big buildings, we're pretty much there. You'll see the PAL vans everywhere tomorrow.
Love it.
So just make it a point, if that happens to be on your regular traveling schedule, it's between 7:30 in the morning and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you see these guys, pop over there. Throw them a few bucks, help out, because it's really a great organization.
And if you can't make it over, pick tomorrow,
log
on, and make a donation online.
Cool. Excellent. Well, continued great work, guys. So we appreciate you coming
by.
Thanks for having us.
All right, thank you. Ted, Captain Thomas, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay close.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I was looking at some things that I've had to cancel recently, and so like the Autism Speaks golf outing, which is coming up.
Because your shoulder.
My rotator
cuff. Yeah,
yeah. I had to cancel on the Devereaux golf outing. I'm going to emcee that one. But I had to call Michael Barkan yesterday and cancel on his as well. And he's been asking me to play that for years. And I'm like, yes, I have time to do it. I'm going to play. And I had to call him yesterday and I can't do it. So I'm bummed out about that. So
I'll go play.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But there's a disaster. There are a lot of great golf events coming up.
Yeah.
And just check our community page, WMMR.com, because you can get signed up and go to these things.
So what's the timetable? Do you know? Is there...
Probably 6 to 8 weeks of physical therapy. Oh. And I could probably play in 4 weeks, but if I'm... You don't know when this is fully healed up.
So I
don't want to go out and re-injure it, and then I'm not playing all summer long, which for me is a nightmare. So.
Years ago when I had a shoulder injury of a similar nature, I pushed it and ended up making it far worse.
Yeah.
So just do it. Though that's why you can understand when professional athletes get injured and they're biting, chomping at the bit to get back into the game. But you can kill a career if you do that. And you obviously, your entire career is sports.
Of course.
So, yeah, you don't want to screw that up.
You know how athletic we are here.
Right.
My brother just had shoulder surgery. He had to go for the surgery, which they tried to avoid for a really long time. And he said he grossly underestimated how much pain how much rehab it's going to take to get it back. I mean, he's like, he can't even pick up his son. Like, he's like, I can't even pick up the kid.
Everybody I've talked to says the same thing. And things like just... sleeping.
He said sleeping is the worst.
Yeah.
The worst time. He said he got an hour of sleep the other night because he said there's no way to get comfortable. Like, even if you're on your side, on the opposite side of the shoulder, he said, like, the weight, like, the gravity pulling that shoulder down is so painful.
You'll have a good excuse for not picking up a check, though.
Okay. That'd be true. Sorry, can't get this.
Can't get that check.
Yeah, Kath, I broke my collarbone years ago, and that recovery took a long time. And simple things like washing your hair and brushing your teeth, you get it completely thrown off on.
Putting on deodorant.
Putting on deodorant.
Honestly, that's when, and I know it's atypical of the normal thing, but a prostitute can really help. I don't need sex. I want you to wash my hair.
Right. I didn't think of that.
Well, honestly, they're a
nurse.
Doing some other pretty nasty things, washing your hair. It's like, that's not that bad.
Right? I've got to figure that's a walk in the park.
I had, when I separated my shoulder, I was driving a stick shift car.
Oh.
And I had to switch cars with my dad.
I'll bet.
About a month.
So, anyhow, I apologize for those events. But I do have an event that I am going to be a part of. It is a Mother's Wish 5K run/walk. Saturday, May 11th. I think that's the first one I have coming up because I've got several other ones, including the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes and the Crohn's and Colitis.
That's first. Walk a Mile.
Oh, Walk-A-Mile is May 4th.
That's first. That's next Saturday.
All right. Well, I have hit that. I'm going to mention A Mother's Wish, which is on May 11th. My daughter has Crohn's disease, and they are trying to help raise funds for Mother's Wish Foundation, which is formed by a group of mothers who have kids who have IBD, and it helps families and also funds research to find a cure. It's going to be at Huebner Park in Worcester, Collegeville, essentially. You can go to PrestonandSteve.com, like I said, and click on the events page, community, go down to that, and then you'll find all these things that we're taking part in, and sign up and be a part, and help support if you can.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
I've been monitoring your schedule personally, Preston. You have 3 weekends in a row, but they're all great causes, and then Emma Barbecue's in there as well, and then right after that, Keenan's.
Woo! A lot coming up.
It's a busy month.
Keenan's conversation yesterday.
Yep.
And, you know, our hardest part is veering away from things that will get us arrested.
Man, we're working on it, though. This guy hasn't been arrested. The North Wales stank ape.
People have heard about
the legend of the North Wales stank
ape. He's not doing anything bad at all. But the only reason I bring it up again is because there was an article in North Penn Now. Marissa came across this. The guy who authored it is Keith Heffentrayer. And he spoke to the North Wales stank ape. And guess what? The North Wales stank ape name checks us in the article.
Really?
No way.
Yes.
No way.
This is a very sentient creature.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
He can communicate clearly.
Not like Coco, right? Like verbal?
Right. Sightings began early last month. Residents were spotting him casually strolling. He's a guy in a gorilla suit,
oh,
for those who don't
okay.
know.
Oh, it looked like a very convincing animal in the picture I saw.
But anyhow, they had an interview with him. He's been in and around the North Wales area, and North Penn now spoke to him. He said, "I've been around for years wandering about. I just got lonely and wanted to be a part of the North Wales community." And it appears that his behavior is spontaneous, no rhyme or reason as to when or where he'll appear from the shadows. But he has an undeniable thirst for booze, it says here. He has frequently been spotted at area bars and breweries. And in one instance, he was captured on video chugging a beer at Tex-Mex, which, by the way, is a great restaurant. I love going there.
This sets him apart from Sasquatch. And Sasquatch seems to live on berries and twigs.
And this guy also, he has joined the community. He's not so elusive.
Antisocial. That walking away, that long gait, avoiding people. He actually marches into bars.
But I love this. It says, "I'm always around. You just have to find me. I kind of just wander, but I like to refer to it as stanking."
Stankin' alive.
Yeah. So the reaction has been great. He said people wave and honk as they drive by, and I've been gaining a lot of new friends. And I love when people recognize me and say hi. It makes me feel part of the North Wales community. And then the author writes, "With that support has also comes localized fame by way of discussion about the Stank Ape on WMMR's Preston and Steve show." Naturally, residents and Stank Ape enthusiasts were quick to post about it on the Stank Ape's timeline because he has a Facebook page.
Of course.
And it says, "I was blown away by Preston and Steve and now by North Penn Now. I did not expect to be so popular," said the Stank Ape. "I just want to remind people that stankin' is about popping up and saying hi. I don't ever mean to cause any trouble or be a bother. I'm just a friendly stank ape, and I like to be a positive part of the community."
I've long suspected that most apes stank.
Yes.
Have a stankness to them. My question is, and I'm just throwing this out there, spitballing, as you would say, Casey, would the stank ape perhaps consider being a guest at Keenan's?
Maybe. I'm not sure what we'd have him do. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Or does he only stay in North Wales?
It's quite possible.
He might be indigenous to the
North
and Wales area.
Were he to
only.
Be removed from his source of power, he might die.
I don't necessarily think that the reason he started stanking was free drinks, but, you know, this is...
Great idea.
What a great idea.
It is.
Imagine if he was like, "Man, I love drinking, but it's expensive. What if I just go and invest in an ape costume and start walking around, create this moniker... I won't have to buy a drink."
Well, it's working.
I
don't know. It doesn't indicate in this article
if he's getting comped.
If he indeed gets the free drinks or not. He just gets drinks.
I bet he gets banana daiquiris for free.
His final quote, and I love this, is, "I am Stank Ape, and that's all I am."
Yeah.
"So as long as I'm around, I'll be stanking."
That is the proudest proclamation I've ever heard.
Preston, you see Stank Ape sitting at a bar.
Yeah.
You buy
him
a drink.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. You both get to talking. You hit it off. Do you take him back to your room?
Now, if he's... Yeah. Sure.
Listen, maybe. I'm usually not this way, but I think we really have something.
Do you think he bought the costume, or do you think he had it already?
No, this is a real creature.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But, I mean, like, if you're going out... Like, you know, if you're, to your point, Casey.
I feel like saying, "No, Vern, they just let him in." That's from Stand By Me.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, another thing that might be elusive and very not common on catching a sight of is a new colorful trend circling around social media. And I believe they're calling this unicorn armpits.
Unicorn armpits.
Yes.
Now, unicorns are elusive, legendary creatures.
Correct. Apparently people are dyeing their armpit hair rainbow color. And women, too. The trend is said to embrace the extension of a female empowerment movement.
Oh, stop it.
In which women grow out their armpit hair positivity. But now people are coloring. But it's guys that are doing it, too, that are coloring their armpit hair. But celebrities have started to participate in the trend as well. In January, Miley Cyrus shared a photo of herself becoming a modern advocate of celebrating the uniqueness of showing off her natural-looking and pink unicorn pits.
So we're looking at... When I see rainbow stuff like this, I think of more like gay pride.
Sure.
So I don't necessarily think unicorn.
No.
No,
uniform
but,
would be, I mean, I would think more pastel color. So
yeah. One color, like a rainbow bright.
But a lot of times you'll see unicorns now, Kathy, will have like a rainbow colored mane on them when,
no,
they're, when they're depicted.
Only Rainbow Dash has a rainbow mane. Come on,
excuse me?
That's a, you know, My Little Pony, Rainbow Dash.
Rainbow Dash?
Yeah. I'm not from Mayer.
No, me either. So anyhow, this is kind of being this. Listen, there's
so what about what are they doing in the with the pubes? Is there something? Is there an equivalent?
Maybe, I would imagine so. But the
unipube,
the social media trends well, are now happening on, I think, like a bi-weekly basis. Like every other week, I see another thing, and I just see it for the one post. And then it's gone.
It's too much.
Yeah,
it's too much. Yeah. A quick side note to this: have you you're not on Twitter all that much?
No.
Twitter has had a shift in their in their layout. Have you guys used it?
Yes, I don't care for it.
You don't care for it?
No, so but I fear change. So
yeah, it's okay.
Well, explain what is it?
Yeah, they've modded the layout of the page, and I agree with Nick. It's always where's this button? Where's that? But it's a lot of times it's like, why do you tinker with it?
Yeah.
What's the need? And it's not even like there are new features. They just move stuff around.
Yeah.
Like a game of Tetris.
You just get used to it in a certain way and looking in a certain place. And when they take that away or change that, for in my mind, no reason whatsoever, it throws you off for a few days.
Yeah.
Like I can't even find my Commodore 64 chat room.
Yeah, I'm not. I've become bored of Twitter.
Yeah,
more of an Instagram thing. Like Jennifer Garner, the most beautiful woman in the world,
and you're the most beautiful man, so
thank
it works
you
out.
Appreciate it. Here's another trend: couples are now getting what are called pet nups.
Oh. Pet nups?
Couples. With the rise of disputes over pets between former couples, pet nups are a type of prenuptial agreement that specifically details what would happen to a couple's pet in the event of a split.
I think this is actually smart. So let's say you are a couple and you have a stank ape. And you've both grown attached to the stank ape, especially because that's the way you get free drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, the animal has a favorite. Do you know what I mean? Like, the animal should go with whoever they like.
I could right now, we have the 10 cats and the dog. I could break up the animals that would want to come with me because I know they all have personalities. But the animals that spend a lot more time, that gravitate more towards me and gravitate more towards my wife. But I honestly, I think this is a smart move, really. If you're going to do a prenup, you might as well figure out who's going to get the pets.
But, Case, even, you know... But that might be a difficult discussion, even though, you know, I mean, somebody might disagree and go, no, that's not the case, clearly.
Well, that's why you need dog.
Loves me.
You need animal lawyers.
Right. Obviously, actual animals that are the lawyers.
Yeah, exactly.
To parse it all out.
In my household.
Stank ape for the defense.
In my household, my dogs follow me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go.
And you would get the dogs.
Yes. So
who would get the kids?
Probably my wife.
That's because
she's a better parent.
You probably play with them more than anybody else.
Well,
you talk about messing around with your dog all the time.
I do.
Both poop outside.
We both poop outside. Kathy, you're so right. We both.
There's many qualities you share.
All three of us pee outside.
You drink out of the toilet.
I do not drink out of the toilet.
Somebody texted in, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt, Casey. A few people did, actually. An article on 6ABC last night about baby nups.
Wouldn't that just be child custody?
That's what I would think, right? But maybe you... Why would you agree to that ahead
of time? That's insane. Oh. Especially if it's taking time away from who's going to get the cat.
Yeah. I mean, come on. We'll have to look that up, Nick, and see if you...
Baby nups.
Baby nups.
Nups.
Baby nup. Baby nups.
Nup.
Managing little one's responsibilities.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, so it's not about custody. It's about who changes the poopy diapers.
I would like to go with mommy.
Oh, okay. Really?
No, knock it off.
And speaking of which, like, I've heard of, you know, there's some gentlemen out there who not only don't change diapers, but also, like, take pride in the fact that they don't change diapers.
Oh, my God. A friend of mine's dad, and we were friends for just a couple of years, and then he moved from the area and have since lost touch. So, but within that span of time, I don't know how many times I heard his dad say, I never changed a single diaper on you, not once.
I never changed a diaper in my life.
And I, why would you tell your kids that? Like, I didn't, I couldn't bring myself.
Like, it's a point of pride.
Exactly.
I never changed diaper in my life. I always withheld love, and I had a mistress.
Yeah, I always felt kind of bad when I heard him saying that to the son. Because,
and I never loved your mother.
And it was, like you said, it was yeah. It was like almost a point of pride.
Yeah, you're an a-hole. I didn't want to have a goddamn thing to do with you.
Please.
Yeah.
I would love to hear of the perfect reason, a reason where I will go, you know what, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. Why you would not change your child's diaper.
My dad, you know, was old school, you know, gruff, wonderful dad. I love him dearly.
Yeah.
He changed diapers.
Yes.
It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
And he fought in World War II.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's really...
Now, he did put his cigarettes out on me.
Sometimes it is that
sometimes
bad.
Sometimes it is that bad. I
but
mean,
it's
we
not
talk about
always
the...
that bad.
So, like, I guess by the time the kid's like 15 or 16, it gets a little dicey, right?
A little bit, yeah, because there's hair now, you know?
It's matted. And, of course, yeah, sometimes you have to remove condoms.
Yes. I mean, there's some worse things that are going to happen.
What is the worst age? Because I've heard that, and I, having not had children myself, I've heard that... There's a particular age at which it becomes the most pungent.
No, I would disagree.
It's all pungent.
It depends on the kid.
Okay.
Because I had two that weren't that bad and one that was just, oh my God, since birth.
Wow.
And it was, I was like, wow, we didn't have to deal with this before.
See, I think I also think it has to do with the age of the kid. So with Jace, it was like right before he started to go on the potty. I was like, you're like a man, and
wow.
I'm still changing your diaper. Like, we have to end this.
Man. What, like turd sizes, you mean?
Yes.
Like Robert Kraft.
Yeah. But, Steve, in the very, Robert very Kraft. Beginning, it's just tarry. It's not like it's not much.
Crapping
it's,
tar?
Yeah, it's well, it's kind of like, it's tar-like. Yeah.
Oh, tar-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day about that stage of life for my son, and there was a stretch where he would not go to sleep, and so I would have to drive him around.
Oh,
and when that was happening, I was like, man, this is kind of a pain. I completely miss that now.
Yeah.
Like being able to take my son around until he fell asleep in the car was adorable. But
there
at
was
the time, you're like, oh, my God, this is such a pain.
There was a wonderful car commercial that had that in it. Do you remember that commercial?
No.
Where the dad takes the son out. Until
he falls asleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's so endearing, and I miss that age terribly.
The dad parks outside the purple orchid.
Right. Well, I mean, you gotta go in.
You just wait here. I'm gonna I'll crack a window.
Crack a window. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I have friends who they only have one child, and it was, you know, for that very reason, the only way he could fall asleep was in the car. So
yeah.
and that becomes a bit much.
Memories, right? Memories.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a call. I'm gonna go to Jason. Hi, Jason. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey guys, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, so, buddy, what's going on?
My dad had three kids, me being one of them, never changed a single diaper.
Wow.
But the deal that he made with my mom was while there was a child in diapers, he did all the dishes, all the cleaning of the house, pretty much everything that had to do with the house, he did. My mom changed diapers and fed the babies.
Okay, so they made
that's
a
deal.
It was a deal. It was an understanding.
Yeah, but what happens, was he ever left alone with any of you guys? And if he was, did he just let you rot in your dirty diapers?
In your filth?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you rot in your filth.
So there was one time when my sister, who was the oldest, was in a Johnny Jump Up for about 3 hours with a wet diaper. And after that, my mom just really didn't leave us home alone with him. So.
But at a certain point, obviously, you can get an exacerbated rash, right?
Sure.
I mean, if you're rocking a load of...
Yeah.
Dung in your shorts.
Yeah, or just moisture in there as well for any. Yeah, there's chafing. There's all kinds of things that can happen. So, you want to be changed regularly, obviously. But
I do.
I never got that case.
No.
I never changed a diaper in my life.
But back to the point. But a pet nup is kind of becoming a bit of a trend.
Well, you'd reported on the fact that some of the biggest litigation now with the divorces it revolves around pets.
Yeah, and in fact, divorce lawyers spend an average of 25 hours of billable time on that single issue alone. This is according to a story in the UK.
So, and think about also you with your cats when you were a single guy, Preston. You know, you had Morgan and Bumper, right?
Bumper.
Madison.
Yeah, right. Very good.
Right. So, you know, they meant the world to you. Yeah. You know, and so you that can become an issue.
Yep. Yeah. And or you could be in like my older brother's household where he didn't want a dog. He didn't want one. And the family did.
And so you can, it's like one of two things. Like, no, nope, I don't want a dog. We're not going to get one. Or what my brother's, fine, you guys can get a dog, but I'm not doing anything for it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to walk it.
I'm not going to change his diaper. And wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did he stick to that?
Yeah. Why did you, you try and stick to that?
Well, no, I didn't full on say, look, I'm putting all responsibility on you. But I did say, look, I know how this is going to work out. I'm going to end up getting the bulk of the responsibility, but I need your help. I need your help. I didn't want to get dogs. I love our dogs now. And, of course, that's what happens no matter what. But I wanted our pets had passed away. And I'm like, hey, we can go on vacation and not have to worry about somebody taking care of the pets, blah, 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 blah. And then I found out dogs actually need more attention than cats. Yeah. So it's become a little bit more restrained. So, yes, there's more responsibility. And I said, look, the dogs are going to need to be walked. You guys need to walk them. They're going to need this and this and that. And
I hear you. So here's the deal. Let me jump in on this.
Wait, there's no proactive, I'm going to go take the dog for a walk. You know what I mean? It's you have to be ordered to do it.
So during our conference calls now, periodically, I'll hear, Preston, you'll be out walking the dogs, mm-hmm. and it's so cute. You'll hear you go, no.
Yeah.
And then you just adore it, and you love it to death. But that's the classic story. Mom, can we get this? Can we get a dog?
I promise.
All right. But they don't.
No.
And, you know, you just know that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
My one dog
should hear me with the, give me kisses.
My one dog is too big, and nobody is strong enough to take him for a walk except for me.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm pretty goddamn because
you're
strong.
You're so strong.
Rugged.
But yeah, you were the one who wanted a bigger dog.
I did, and I love him.
I know you do.
By the way, I was late on the conference call last night because I was at the baseball game, and he snapped his leash twice in two different spots. What kind of leash
are you using?
Well, it was a Kong leash, you know, like it was supposed to be a strong leash.
Yeah.
And so I had to like carry him to the car and we like race to the pet store to get a new leash. And he's about to snap that one too. He is a monster.
How much does he weigh?
About 80 pounds.
All right.
Nine months old.
I know what you need to get. King of the Segways here. The Fort Worth Police Department SWAT team has become the first in the country to use a new lasso style device to take down suspects. Casey, you could use this on your dog.
This thing is cool.
This is
super cool.
It's called the Bolo Wrap.
Yes.
And it's a remote device, non-lethal weapon that has a Bolo-style rope that wraps itself around the suspect's body. And I saw them using this thing. It is so cool. It looks like it's out of The Running Man or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
I would love to get one in the parking lot and give it a shot.
I don't know if they have them in the departments here yet, Casey.
They have them at Target.
They're starting to kind of test market them and see if they work out. But it reminded me a little bit, Steve, of in The Running Man where they have that net gun they shoot.
Yeah, and they have those.
Yeah.
They do have those.
So it's called That's what they yell when you catch it. It's called a company called Wrap Technologies. A Vegas-based company created the gadget. It's being marketed to police departments across the U.S. So the Bolo Wrap cartridge contains an 8-foot Kevlar tether that deploys at a rate of 640 feet per second. So, like, when you pull the trigger, it's like it's on the person.
Like Donkey Kong.
Once it's fired, the rope wraps itself around the suspects 1 to 3 times at a range of 10 to 25 feet. A small hook attached to the end of the rope catches onto the person's clothing to secure it. In less than a second, the suspect is lassoed and restrained without harm. And, of course, like tasers, every now and then you're going to have people that will be able to
For the most part, as a passive way to get someone restrained. Now, this replaces the very ineffective spinach wrap, which was not. And everyone was able to extricate themselves from that. But in this case, Preston, the last thing you'd want is something like this falling into the hands of
predators
and mm-hmm. civilians who can, you know, use it that way as well.
I thought you were going to say Predator.
It's not bad enough that he's invisible. He's got this Ebola app.
This thing is awesome. How much do you think something like this cost?
I don't know.
I think with a coupon, $10. No, yeah. I think honestly,
I don't know.
It doesn't look like it's that expensive. So I would probably put it in like the $100 range.
Yeah.
Oh, and so, I'm sorry, what kind of range does it have? Like,
it says 10 to 25 feet is best. It's interesting about those ranges with the police. They're not as much as you would think they are. I learned this in Krav Maga training. When an officer is confronted with a suspect, if they are within, I think it's 25 feet, they're no longer supposed to use their sidearm because it may not be enough time to get that out and deploy.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they go to hand-to-hand. So there's some interesting qualifications or rules.
In the Frank Grillo Krav Maga episode where he went over to Israel and of his fight series,
he's talking to that expert, and the expert's doing counter to what we would all think to do. He's pulling the guy in towards him.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Because he's able to manage that better in a closer proximity.
Yep.
That distance is
what's
going to get
him. That guy was a monster,
dude. Oh, my God.
Yes, I
want to
be
him.
That's
the guy. Yes. Yeah, I want that guy working for me.
Yeah, Frank looks scared of that
guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So SWAT officers used the device recently on an armed suspect following a standoff. The suspect, who had barricaded himself inside a home, was first forced out by tear gas. After the man came out of the house, officers feared that he might try to run, so they deployed the bubble wrap on him and allowed officers to take him into custody without incident. So that's one incident that I don't know how many times they've used it.
I'm surprised they've never modified old novelty items, Preston, and like the thing where you offer them gum.
Yes.
Except like 1,000 volts runs through it.
Or Steve, they draw on them, they get them to submit.
Yeah.
And then they pull the trigger and a little flag says bang.
Bang. Right.
Comes out.
Or here.
Gotcha.
Look at this nudie picture. And it blinds them. Right? These little the things that always worked as a kid that you'd fall for. Or, hey, who wants some mixed nuts? Right? And you open it up.
Look, shake it. There's nuts in there.
And it's a grenade.
It's a
flashbang.
It's a flashbang. See,
that's kind of brilliant.
Who doesn't like mixed nuts? And you hand that to a terrorist.
Yes. Bang.
Ba-boom.
You got him. People are texting in. It's 21 feet is the drawing of the weapon. It's 21 foot rule. So.
Well, what about a pistol with a 20 foot barrel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Takes a while to lift it.
On the name, but you're good to go.
Right. Yeah, but how do you know what 21 feet is? Hang on a second here. Let me get my tape measure.
No, you get your golf, what, that finder? The range finder.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of equipment.
But Casey, you could use a bowler wrap on your dog when he snaps his lead. So
good
to go. All right, we need to take a break. I want to remind you that we have lovely ladies of Clubber Skay who are on our hottie cam this morning. We have Arabella, Reagan, and Ronnie.
That's right.
I should say Ronnie and Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. Yes.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan is on our hottie cam this morning with the girls from Clubber Skay.
They were playing a game, Preston.
What are they playing?
The game was guess which one is wearing a bra.
Oh, is that the game?
Yeah, I was watching earlier.
It's not a hard game.
Yeah, it's, you see if you play at home.
I'm wearing an underwire bra.
Yeah. Okay. So on Friday, for the first time ever, tomorrow in Philadelphia, adult film star Rhea Sunshine will perform.
Rhea Sunshine?
Yeah, she's going to be there. And tonight, by the way, they're doing the return of Clubber Skay's Calendar Girls from the past 20 years. So it should be
That's very cool.
As we are taking a break, I'm going to give away the last of our sorority party invites for tonight. Clubber Skay is where we're headed. Do you want to be a member of the presidency?
Not Clubber Skay tonight.
Sorority? No. Did I say Clubber Skay?
Yeah, you did.
Parks Casino tonight.
There you go. Yeah.
And you can be a member of Zeta Eta Pi. Ladies, you have to be at least 21 years of age. And your guest that you bring has to be female and 21 in order to be one of the sisters. It's called Sisters and Suds because we're going to be at their beer garden, beautiful facility. And we're also going to give away craft beer glasses that some of our new sisters can customize with Zeta Eta Pi themed paint markers.
Very nice.
And we have our Zeta Eta Pi pins and tank tops and all kinds of stuff that's going to happen. So we'll give the way the last of those. I believe I have 4 of them left. 215-263-WMMR, the number. We'll take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay close.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Work, 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 work. the ladies of Club Risque are on our hottie cam right now. We have Arabella, Ronnie, and Reagan. And they are now going to play a game called Guess Who's Not Wearing Underwear.
Wow.
I've been told. This was Arabella's idea, I think. Ronnie. I'm sorry. It was Ronnie's idea.
It was my idea.
Please, Ronnie. Ronnie says she feels like the most wealthy person in the room. She says she's getting a lot right now.
Oh. Wow.
So go ahead and take a look. Mm-hmm. You just go ahead and take a look.
They're very energetic, and yes. They're awesome.
By the way, Saturday, Clubber Skay's anniversary week continues with the first ever appearance in Philadelphia by adult film star Jessa Rhodes. So there's a lot going on this week at Clubber Skay. You can go to clubberskay.com for details. Couple of things. Real quick, I want to mention and give a plug to an email I got. A young lady. This is very, very sweet, and I really liked this email. She said, "Hi, Preston. My name is Abby. I'm 13 years old. I'm running a fundraiser in June, and I wanted to see if I could get it posted on your community page. It's a family-friendly beer garden. Here's my letter and the flyer with more details. Thank you." And that's from Abby. And then she posted the letter. It says, "I'm in seventh grade. I recently became an ambassador for the Peyton Heart Project. I'm doing a fundraiser this summer to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and suicide awareness." She goes on to say, "I want to do this fundraiser for both of these organizations because my aunt Sandy passed away from leukemia and my cousin Christian committed suicide. And I've been planning this for a little under a year, but we already have a location, which is going to be Moss Mill Brewing Company in Huntington Valley, 1 to 6 p.m. on June 22nd. We have some other breweries involved, and it's a family-friendly beer garden with activities for adults and kids, as well as a few bands for entertainment." I just thought it was so sweet that this 13-year-old
taking the initiative to do all that?
Is doing this.
That's amazing.
She said proceeds are going to be donated to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and the Peyton Heart Project. The Peyton Heart Project is an organization that handcrafts hearts to promote suicide awareness. It also gives the suicide prevention hotline number for anyone who needs it. And I had made this in memory of my cousin Christian because I got interested in this project and I want to help make a change in this world.
Wow.
All the money will be donated to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society and the Peyton Heart Project. So that was super duper sweet. And I wanted to mention that. I sent the information over to Nick. He's got it up on the community page of PrestonandSteve.com. So thank you, Abby Belota, who got in touch and is taking the initiative at that age. It's just really, really cool.
Nowhere near
me either.
Socially conscious at that age.
By the way, is this true? In 1978, on this day, the Philly Fanatic debuted.
That's what I saw posted. And the internet never lies.
Yeah,
1978.
Debut, which is pretty cool.
Oh, you know what? Okay, yeah, so that makes sense because the Fanatic is, he's going to pop by here tomorrow. Because the Fanatic's birthday is usually celebrated the weekend.
There we go. Right. So maybe it is true.
Then we'll spend some time with him tomorrow.
News service will always say, maybe this is true.
I wanted to go on to another story Kathy had in the news. It's out of Allentown. there was a guy. So here's the deal. These construction workers were doing their job. They're at Walnut Street Commons building. They heard a man calling for help early Tuesday morning, and the sound appeared to be coming from somewhere underneath their work trailer. So they called 911, firefighters came out, and then they could hear some guy. They narrowed down his whereabouts to the sewer in the area of Law Street behind a parking garage, and it was next to the Walnut Street Commons. Firefighters opened a nearby manhole and storm grates, and then they started yelling down to direct this guy toward them, and he ended up finding him, and they got him out of there. Kathy was saying that there's only enough room to crouch and maybe crawl. And they think that this guy had been down there for days.
How many do they know?
They don't know. They said he was dirty and he had signs of dehydration and exposure, but he had enough, strength to come up the ladder on his own. But they don't know why the guy was crawling around in this sewer system for a number of days. And he may be, I don't know if he's mentally ill or if he had some.
Someone put him in a ditch, possibly. I'm biting at the bit to find out this story, but you're down in a tunnel system for days like that.
Yeah.
And we assume no light.
Right, and that's the thing. I think once you're down in that system. Where are you going to find light? I guess it may be some of the grates, but I don't know how big those are.
Manhole covers are, for the most part, bolted down, are they not?
That's a good question. He was in a stormwater sewer, so fortunately it wasn't,
raining.
Yeah. Oh my human God. Waste or anything yeah. like
I'm
that.
I'm starting to feel, panicky.
Just thinking, about,
about
it.
That?
Thinking about that, yes.
How do you do in MRIs and stuff like that?
You know what? Okay? I am fine.
Okay.
Because I also know that I can get out of that.
Oh, my God. I freaked out during my last pap smear.
Oh, because you're not supposed to.
Because I don't think I'm supposed to receive pap smears.
No.
That MRI machine, and that's a big issue for a lot of people. That's why the open MRIs are such a big thing.
Yeah.
Preston, if it's crouchable, perhaps. To be in one of those, a long tunnel where you were elbows tucked in and,
you know, John McClaning it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could... I could probably go for, not days. I couldn't do days.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I couldn't either.
Especially if you're in pitch black darkness.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's the other part of it. Pitch black. You have no clue where you're
going. There's
probably
rats down there and stuff, too.
You don't know when you're going to get out of there.
Yeah.
Stormwater. You don't know if it's, if you're going to drown in there. I mean, it's, to me, it's like, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Have you
guys ever been down into a storm drain?
Yes, I have.
No.
Have you?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oof. It was one that they were building.
Yeah.
And so I could, you know, and it was, I could see the ends of it, you know.
Okay. But, I mean, I've been through long tunnels that are meant for, you know, channeling water, but they've all been tall enough where I could stand in them, and that's no big deal.
We used to go down to the creek down the street from my house, and there was like a little footbridge that went over it, and underneath the footbridge was a big pipe, you know, big enough that, you know, as a kid, you could basically walk into it, and my friends would go in there every now and then. No way, I wouldn't know.
That's where Pennywise lives.
Well, I mean, it didn't help that, like, that one scene in First Blood where he's walking through that tunnel and the rats attack him.
Yeah, you know, this is very unpleasant.
Yeah.
I don't like rats. They're scary.
Yep.
I was terrified of rats as well. So,
rats. rats.
No, I know what you mean. And from time to time, you know, I will share stories of people that drown in those things. I mean, it does happen.
Well, they get swept away in storms.
Yeah, and some of them have, they'll have like a gated end on it, you know, where the water can get through, but you can't get out and animals can't get in and so
that's
on.
The one. So here's a movie. Do you ever see the movie The Descent?
No.
Okay, so these women go, you know, spelunking. They're in this cave system.
Yeah.
And this movie creates...
Oh,
and there's
those
a
creatures.
Whole, yes, there's a whole other element to it.
Yeah.
But you don't even need to get to that part.
Yeah.
And they built the sets to really give you this incredible sense of claustrophobia. I don't care how resilient you are.
Yeah.
Like, even those guys, those cave divers, the guys who take their tanks off and pass them through ahead of themselves.
So they can squeeze
F
through.
That.
No, there's no way that I could deal with something like that.
But this guy, I'm just, if you think, you know, I can't help but lose the impression that perhaps he just went into one of them to see what it was like and got lost.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully there's going to be a follow-up on this story. Or maybe he got caught up in the whole take your kids to work day. And he was a worker in the sewers. And
Daddy, you know, I don't like this.
Which, by the way, today is take your kids to work day.
Yes.
I love that they do this. I don't think I've ever brought my kids to work, though. Should have brought them today, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Daddy.
Club Risque.
Who are these ladies?
In our studio. Did you guys ever get taken to work by your father?
I did. My dad took me on a business trip to Boston.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever went away with my dad.
How old were you?
So I was 29. No, I was second grade, and it was a prop plane. That's how long ago it was. And it was very cool. It was my first time on a plane, and we went to Boston and went to this factory that he was selling to. And I remember it was the first time I ever stayed in a hotel room.
Ooh.
And it was amazing. The actual place, it was just a factory, so I wasn't, you know, that caught up. But just the whole idea, and to see my dad in his, you know, suit there interacting with people was just, wow, so that's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it. It served the purpose that it was supposed to, and that's why I got into sales.
So I just glossed over that. My dad had a couple of different jobs when I was growing up. You know, the most recent one, he was a truck driver, and I definitely got to ride in the truck with him. But he also, like, managed, like, dispatch or whatever at, do you remember the Preston 151 line?
Sure, trucking line, yeah.
Trucking line, yeah. So he brought me to work one time. He had to go in on a Saturday because he needed to get some stuff done. So I went in there with him. I believe I was with at least one of my brothers. So my dad's up in the office getting his work done. We're in the warehouse.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. I'm like 10 years old. I climb up into a forklift. I turn the key on the forklift.
Oh, no.
And then I start driving the forklift. And then I realize I don't know how to drive a forklift.
Oh,
oh my God.
You were 10?
I was like 10 max. Max. 10.
Dude. Young man destroyed factory this morning. Oh, my God.
Now, forklifts also.
You idiot!
If you recall, they steer from the back.
Yeah. So that threw me off big time. I had no clue. Thank God I didn't knock anything over. I didn't crash. But my dad had hurt, and I, that was the last day Daddy took me to work in the 151 line.
I don't even. So mine wasn't officially take your kids to work day, but it was.
Mine wasn't either, but my dad decided. My dad had taken my sister one time, and I was like, hey. What's up here, man?
Dude.
What am I, chop liver?
Bro. Bros before hoes.
Come on, man. Don't you know the rule? So he ended up taking me, and my dad was an accountant for a chemical company. Boy, what an exciting day. Ooh, we had.
It's like Billy Crystal in City Slickers with that you sell air?
You're up. But you know what? I did enjoy it. The neatest thing about it was hanging with my dad at work and going to lunch because they had a big cafeteria, and going to lunch was really cool. And also where he worked. So, you know, we were living in St. Louis at the time, and in the Midwest, there's tornadoes happen fairly often. And so they had like a storm tunnel that was a tunnel system.
That's awesome. Go
from building to building. And that's where they would go if there were like tornado warnings and stuff. So I thought that was really cool.
Did you get to see a tornado?
No, I didn't.
Dad, can you do a tornado? Sure, son.
But these are the things I remember. I remember having lunch with him. I remember going into the tunnel system and the fact that that's where they would go if there was a tornado warning. And then the other part of it was just me playing in the supply closet for a couple of hours, which is great. Listen, I loved it.
It doesn't hurt to also realize that there are parts of the work day that can be monotonous.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, but I mean, obviously you want to give a kid an idea, but what if you're, say, for example, like, did Hugh Hefner, was there a take your kid to work day, you know?
I don't know, but I don't think the purpose of it is to say, you know, someday this could be all yours. Yes. This is what you do.
You could have a tornado cellar as well.
Right, exactly. It's more just to maybe get a peek into what work day is right. like for anybody.
My mom worked at in a locked mental health unit at a hospital. I wasn't allowed to go. They had white doors. And
Mommy, what does it mean?
Yeah, we weren't even allowed to go to the doors. We had to wait in the lobby of the hospital, and then she would have to come out and, you know, have lunch with us or say hi.
And that was your going to work
that,
a mom
that
day?
That was going to work.
All right.
Well, you couldn't gain access.
Marissa, you wanted to jump in.
Yeah, for my brother and I, we were very lucky because every single day was take your children to work day, which usually meant just hang out in the car in front of L&I while I run in and get some permits, because my dad was a union plumber.
Okay.
And there's nowhere to park around City Hall and L&I. So we'd just be like, hey, just sit here. I'm going to lock the car door. Don't answer. Oh, yeah. Don't let anybody God. In.
Tell any cops you're a dwarf.
The other one I always remember, and I love my dad, and this is why I love him. Like, we would go to a Phillies game at night, but, like, if we went to a Phillies game, that meant he couldn't work for a few hours. So we would pull up in front of his Mason's office in Fishtown under the L, but Fishtown, like, 25 years ago. And, again, he'd lock the car doors and let us hang out there while he ran in and, like, did mail and paperwork and had stuff to do. And,
here, you know, here's a pistol, okay? Here's how you rack it.
I mean, my mom was there sometimes, so we were safe.
Yeah, but he would lock your mom in the car.
In this day and age, your dad would be. The authorities would have.
If it was today, you'd be in foster care.
It's actually how I can time when alarms started being accessories on cars, because I remember the first time I got really mad and I was like, screw it, I'm just going to get out. And I opened the car door and the alarm got off.
The classic Viper alarm.
And when you're standing next to it, it's so loud. Yeah.
So what do you like, open up the glove compartment, pour Cheerios and milk in it? I mean, how long would he be in the place?
Well, it depends how long the lines were in L&I that day, Steve. Oh,
Jesus.
All right, I want to go to this call for somebody relaying a take your child to work day. I'm going to go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Gadzooks.
What's up, Jesse?
So I wanted to tell a story. So I work at a software company, which is typically probably pretty boring for most kids, but I took my daughter last year, who's 4, and my company was great. They had lots of activities for the kids and all the kids that were there that day. So we made slime with the kids. So ever since then, that's all my daughter thinks that
I... She thinks you make slime all day? Well, you know, today, Jesse, here, they're doing a... There's a special thing for the kids that are coming to work. Did you see the memo that went out?
No.
Yeah, there's like... I think there's going to be...
lunch at noon.
Lunch at noon and lap dance. And the Presque Girls. And Jackie Bam Bam will be doing face painting. No, but really, there's kind of a little...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I think that's a very cool thing for the company to do.
Here's a great text. Says, my dad's a landscaper. He took me to work one day, and I never left. I'm 27 in a week, and I've been working for 12 years.
That would be wild to go into your, you know, to in a family business to go into that, you know, to continue a line of work.
How about this one? Says, my dad worked at the Philadelphia morgue.
Wow.
Yeah, he took me there once.
Playing out dead bodies.
And I don't know if there was a second message that came up or not on that, but yeah.
So, Steve, pizza and ice cream party begins in our offices at noon.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I think that's the first time.
It says you have to bring the kids.
All right.
We can't just show up and get pizza and ice cream?
We're going to have to figure something out.
Somebody I'm only 6 and a half years old.
So I'm going to go.
Big kid.
You know what, Steve? Go find a kid on the street and just bring him in here.
I'm going to get one of those big all day suckers, Nick, yeah. And then put on short shorts. Hi!
Somebody go get
had a hormone issue.
Somebody go find a child.
Here's one that says, my dad never took me to work, but he would occasionally pick me up from school with his Origlio beverage truck,
which made
all other kids super jealous. That's pretty cool. All right, well.
Dude, yeah.
What?
My daughter's friend's dad, it works with like really, really exotic cars and stuff like that. Mm. And he picks his daughter up from school in like Ferraris and Lamborghini. But they're not like, I don't think they're his.
He's just hot wiring them?
Yeah, no, I don't. You know, I don't really. I should ask him next
time. He's probably going to get fired.
The last time I saw it's his company.
Oh, it is. Okay.
The last time I saw him, he was in like a brand new Corvette. I'm like, man, that like.
If it's his company, then
he probably won't fire himself.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You get to drive him. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, when you're a kid, and I remember that, you know, my wife tells a story of the celebrity kid in her school. Her dad owned a Carvel's.
Oh,
so
really?
That was like,
well, there you go.
For a kid, that's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's totally the celeb parents. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, enjoy the day if you are participating in that today, because I think it's a pretty cool thing. We need to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. I got some more bizarre file stories we didn't get to earlier that I think you'll enjoy. And more caught up. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
So your cash flows low when you need some dough, and I'm like, fund you.
MMR's fund you too. Your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times a day.
Hey, fund you.
Hey, fund you too.
Weekdays, tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear the hour's winning keyword. We give you 15 minutes to enter it via the MMR app on your mobile device, the contest page at WMMR.com, or text it to the short code 45911. One random entry wins $1,000 in cash.
We wanna fund you.
MMR's fund you too. 5 chances to win a grand. Weekdays at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. All the details and contest rules at WMMR.com.
Brought to you by A&T Subaru. Subarus really do cost less in Sellersville.
And by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, let's do another run at the B-File here.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, here's a story. We touched base on this a little bit the other day with Mike and Alex over at Fox when we went on with them, but I wanted to present the entire story in the Bizarre File. A woman flew into rage and murdered her husband after catching him watching porn in his man cave after he promised to stop.
Stop doing that or I'll kill you.
Yeah, Patricia Hill, who's 69, by the way,
is on trial
in Arkansas accused of murdering her 65-year-old husband, Frank Hill, at their home in Pine Bluff last year.
And she made him swear not to do it?
Yeah, Patricia reportedly confronted him after seeing their satellite TV bill, which showed that he had signed back into his Dish channel after she had previously canceled it.
I should be all the woman you need.
During the ordeal, the 69-year-old reportedly knocked over a table that had Frank's cigarettes on it and then ran back into the house to grab a gun.
I'm going
to
go get my gun so I can kill you.
She then returned to Frank's man cave and shot his leg twice. Patricia then took Frank's love of porn, apparently, as a personal affront to her and her God, her attorney, Bill James said.
Her God is her attorney?
No. I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So James also said the couple were basically estranged. He said she told him over and over again to stop, and he says that he would, but he went right back to doing it. She lost her mind. He went to his shed and she went to work.
Watch him for the plots.
After shooting her husband, Patricia allegedly went back inside her house to call the police as well as an ambulance. Frank was found in a shed with a gunshot wound to the upper and lower body. It says he was rushed to the hospital, subsequently pronounced dead when they arrived.
Wow.
So he must have bled out. Yeah, that's pretty messed up. Oh, my God. Listen to this. Talk about messed up.
All right.
A Pennsylvania woman died on Monday after falling into a meat grinder.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Yeah. At this a food processing company. The woman, an employee at the Economy Locker Storage Company in northern Pennsylvania, was found dead on Monday morning by a coworker who said they responded to hearing strange noises coming from the commercial machine.
Oh, my God.
Witnesses said firefighters spent about 45 minutes disassembling the large machine in an effort to recover the woman's remains. She was 35 years old.
So, you know, we talk about being jammed into like a tunnel and caught and suffocating, and that's claustrophobic feeling. That's another one. Yeah, that's worse.
Occupational Safety and Health Organization told ABC that it is investigating the woman's death.
Jesus.
A man hid outside of a woman's home in violation of a court order, then set himself on fire when police arrived at the scene.
I got this.
Carl Ireland may have been trying to commit suicide by cop, they said, when he doused himself with gasoline and ignited the fuel in front of multiple officers. I think he was just trying to kill himself by burning himself.
Yeah. What do you think? The cops are going to shoot you once you set yourself on fire?
This is in Jersey, Casey. Yeah. Yes. But the man survived. He now faces multiple criminal charges in connection with the incident.
That did not go as planned.
To the Camden County Prosecutor's Office. Did you have this? No, you didn't have the story earlier today.
So he was stalking this woman?
Yeah, yeah.
And then set himself on fire rather than be caught?
I guess.
We don't know.
The fire incident followed earlier confrontations with police at the home where large houses line a road that curves into a cul-de-sac. Over the last several weeks, officers said that they had two violations of the same restraining order, and he's been getting physically aggressive with the officers. This is Sergeant Vitano who said this.
All right.
He noted that Ireland had previously been taken to a crisis evaluation facility. A criminal complaint alleges Ireland hid outside the house, apparently awaiting the return of the female resident. Ireland was hiding in a shed area when several officers responded to a call about his presence. Verano said that he was talking with a female resident when he heard officers behind the house ordering Ireland to show his hands. He said, "I could hear that he was dumping gasoline on himself and attempting to light it."
All right, so after dying in a very tight tunnel and being ground up in a meat processing device, burning to death.
Yeah, burning and then living.
Burning. Oh, yes, that's right. He lived.
Yeah, he's not dead.
He was finally able to ignite the flames in his clothes and face and head caught on fire. They used a taser device on him to get him to the ground so they could get him to medical treatment. He's been in the hospital, one of the hospitals in Philadelphia. It's pretty messed up. Yeah. Let's see. How about this? A man in Florida, I guess you could call him a Florida man, is facing charges after deputies say he ignited a homemade pipe bomb in his backyard that rocketed into his neighbor's yard.
Florida man, Florida man.
Is that his intention?
Well, video of the incident was posted on his own Facebook account, so I guess he was pretty proud of it.
Look what I did.
Christopher Green was charged Saturday with making a destructive device.
I live in Florida.
According to deputies, a woman working in her backyard at the home that afternoon heard a loud hissing noise and then saw white smoke as an object flew into her yard. Upon examination, it appeared to be a metal pipe that had been capped at both ends. No one was injured in the incident, though it forced the evacuation of several nearby homes. Bomb squad was called in. Their investigation led to a home, and there they made contact with Green, who they said admitted he used a stump remover mixed with sugar to make smoke bombs.
You know those neighborhoods that have that guy?
Yeah.
What you doing over there, Phil? I'm making a bomb.
The hell's stump remover,
get a stump
by the
way? Removed.
Is a tree?
Yeah.
Is it explosive? Is it like an explosive?
Well,
you can explode a stump. I mean, yes, you can remove it that way, but maybe this guy got confused because basically it just turns it into like mulch.
Yeah. We had one done in our yard and it like chips it away and digs it out of the ground.
Yeah, so that's a device. This is like a
chemical
of some
sort. Some sort of explosive or at least root killer.
I don't know. No, the stump's already dead, right?
It's a stump.
Not
can you look up stump remover, please?
Here it is. Stump remover. Oh. Spectracide, it's called.
It's probably to kill it.
So if you get a tree cut down, it's probably it's to kill the stump.
So it doesn't come back to life.
Right.
Or
I'd blow it up.
To grow or whatever. All right, well, anyhow, he used that in some sugar. You can make a bomb if you want to. Well,
he blew it up real good.
Deputy Tulsa said.
I love my neighbors. I wasn't trying to kill her or nothing.
Deputies also said they found a video of the incident on Green's Facebook page. The video, they said, depicted Green making a pasty substance in a pot on a kitchen stove, then going outside and lighting a pipe with the substance in it. After a few seconds, the pipe rocketed away.
That didn't work out so good, so now I'm going to build a nuclear reactor.
Yeah, so he's gotten in trouble for that.
Yep.
That's what I got in the bizarre file for you. Let's take another break. We'll come back in just a moment. By the way, Casey wants you to know, if you're watching the Hottie Cam, the turkeys are done.
The turkeys are done?
Yes, apparently. And the ladies from...
Your nipples are hard.
Yeah, they're very hard. Yeah. So thank you, Ronnie,
thank
for
you
that.
Very much.
Yes, it's Ronnie's, whose turkeys are done. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get the lesson question for the day. Trash music news as well on the way.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have given away all our passes. I just want to remind you, if you've been hanging on for the sorority party tonight at Parks Casino, but don't worry. I have another one down the road. We're looking forward to hanging with our sisters tonight. And more events on the way. There's always something going on here at MMR, whether it be with us, the Preston and Steve Show, or anybody else on the staff. And you can always check WMMR.com and see when and where. Like today is a ticket raid.
Yes.
There's one for the MMRBQ. And today's, let me get this information. I'll make sure you get it correctly. Today from 8 to 10 p.m., Dominic's Tavern. Which is on Browning Road in Belmar, New Jersey. We will have the MMRB on hand with a Bud Light and chance to win tickets every single 10 minutes. So if you're in that area, stop by. You just might win. And while you're there, grab a $2 Bud and Bud Light bottle because those will be on special. Information about that, if you didn't get a chance to write it down, go to WMMR.com and you should be able to find the info about the ticket raids and when and where's and all that stuff. And also, don't forget the MMRBQ concert t-shirt presale is still underway. And if you order by May 5th, you can get it in time for the show. It's only $20, by the way.
I got to get one.
Rockshop at WMMR.com in order to get that. So, lesson question today. We have an Avengers Endgame prize pack that can be yours. Comes with some really cool stuff, which I'll tell you about in just a moment. I'm torn. I don't know which one to go with here. You know what? Let's do this. Let's do one from earlier. Yesterday, we did one from late in the
show. All right.
What was the script for Rocky V written in? 215-263-WMMR. Okay, if you were listening, you know the answer. Please call and let us know, and you just might win. So what was the script for Rocky V written in? 215-263-WMMR. While you are calling in, we shall do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. Kind of stories we got today, Steve.
Well, Meghan Markle's father will not be invited for the birth of her baby and is said to be considered persona non grata. Said a furious Thomas Markle, quote, persona non grata, I am totally grata.
Hey!
He played Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam, decades ago on TV, and now 75-year-old actor Jackson Bostwick says he would have loved to have been offered a cameo in the new movie. Bostwick says he probably couldn't have done it, though, because his schedule's been jammed up with loitering commitments.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Britney Spears' boyfriend Sam Asghari reporting that the singer is doing very well after checking herself into a facility for a nervous breakdown. In fact, Asghari says Spears picked up a bug last night and only ate half of it.
Oh.
That's Hollywood Trash.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's see if we can get an answer to the lesson question. What was the script for Rocky V written in? And I will go to Brian, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
awesome. You guys rock.
Thanks, bud. All right, so what was the script from Rocky V written in?
I believe it was written in crayon.
It was.
You're good to go, Brian. We have an Avengers Endgame prize pack for you, including a pair of Admit One Fandango tickets to see the film, lunchbox, T-shirt, sunglasses, and more. Plus, we're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Marvel Universe of Superheroes, now open at the Franklin Institute. Explore Marvel's legacy through immersive set pieces, original artwork, movie props, costumes, and a bunch more. An exhibit for the hero in all of us. You can get tickets today at fi.edu. I have a question, Steve, about a story you had in Trash.
Yes.
The guy from Shazam. Did he play the superhero or was he the kid?
He played the superhero. No, okay. Kenny Batson.
Yeah, because they had two different
right
people play that part, obviously. As a kid, I loved that show.
That was on with ISIS.
Yeah.
Remember that same deal? It was really well done.
And when he would go, Shazam!
Yeah.
Boom! And then he would, this big hulking dude would come out right in the Shazam
there
outfit.
Was that. Was there was cool. Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. Do you remember that?
I do.
All those, they were, I mean, they spent some money on them. They were sort of, you know, they were cheapish, but they were still for live, they were live action dramas done for Saturday morning, you know, cartoons.
I remember all three of those.
I miss the simpler time that it was back then. You know, where you didn't have a billion channels and, you know.
But what you do have now.
I know.
Mean, as a kid, I mean, I remember when they tried to do a Spider-Man movie years ago, and really what he was doing was rappelling down buildings, you know, and climbing a rope up the side. It was horrible. Look, I mean,
didn't know any
just
better,
go
though.
See. And I know, yeah. But still, you always knew
there was a short-lived live-action Captain America too. It was and what else was there? They did a Flash as well a long time ago.
Flash they did with who's he's now actually on of the current series Flash as his father, but John Wesley Shipp is the guy's name. But yeah. Right after Batman came out. And that whole vibe, that whole Batman, Michael Keaton, Tim Burton vibe, that translated to the TV series. Yep. But it was really good.
I mean, I understand you look back, you know, nostalgically at that stuff, but it's so much better.
Like
so
Saturday better. Night, you know, like I was watching things that, like, I don't have time for right now, you know. But it's just because there was nothing else better on, you know. Like
a lot of times, you were forced to explore things that you normally wouldn't watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you it would make you check out things because there was nothing else on. And sometimes you would find gems. A lot of other times, you'd watch nothing but crap.
Yeah.
But there was some good stuff there. You remember? I mean, completely separate. And I didn't mean to get into this conversation, but like In Search of
with Leonard Nimoy, awesome. Who's now actually hosted by Zachary Quinto.
And do you remember The Body Human?
Oh, I absolutely love The Body Human. Yeah, yeah.
Those were like one-time specials. Like every now and then, my family, we'd all be getting together to watch those.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Or the Jacques Cousteau special.
Yeah. Oh, man, those were great.
The night we explored the octopus.
Yes. Octopus.
Octopus. You are a creature of the sea with many legs and sucky things. You swim alone, always ever forward. Your life is a mess.
Jacques would have poems. His own poems that he would write. So.
Nautilus. I don't even know what the hell you are.
Yes. All right. Music news. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Just a few stories for you this morning. We'll start with this one. The Black Keys are set to debut a second new song today. Casey, you will love the title of this song.
Okay.
It's called Eagle Birds.
Oh, yay!
It's got both the names.
Oh, my God.
For our boys in blue.
I love it. We used musical beds on our show to bring us in and out of break.
Stop revealing secrets.
All right, no, but I want to tell you that we had a bed that I couldn't use for the last couple of years because the name of the bed was called Cowboys.
Oh, shut up.
Okay. I want to show you something, Preston. I had Marissa rename this bed.
Cowboys suck. Yes. I see it right there. Okay.
All right. I will play this song every single day for the rest of my life.
Which bed is it? Can you play it? Can you?
Oh, and it's a good bed. It's a really good bed. But
it's Cowboys Suckner.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And it's listed in there as Cowboys Suck.
Is this a Pantera song?
Maybe.
I think it is, yeah. All right, so that's now Cowboys Suck. Okay.
Okay, well, why did you bring that up?
Because of the Eagles.
He's found a new song.
Eagles birds.
Eagle birds.
I love the Eagle birds so much.
Yeah. I am big fan of Eagle bird.
The Tomb will premiere on Apple's Beats Music in the morning sometime today, and it follows up the recent release of Low High, the duo's first new track in 5 years. Now, the group announced the arrival of Eagle Birds on its social channel yesterday. There's still no word on whether both of the new tunes are part of a full-length Black Keys album. The last LP from the pair, Turn Blue, came out in 2014. They are on tour later this year with Modest Mouse and also have confirmed a handful of festival dates. Rob Zombie has completed work on his new film, Three from Hell. And the movie also got in front of the Motion Picture Association of America to get a rating. Not surprisingly, the movie has been rated R for strong sadistic violence, language throughout, sexual content, graphic nudity, and drug use. Three from Hell is a sequel to the 2005 film The Devil's Rejects and will bring back Sid Haig, Sherry Moon Zombie, and Bill Moseley as the psychotic Firefly fan.
I like those films, and they're really well directed, and I think Rob Zombie is in his lane with this stuff, but I don't find them, they're just weird.
Yeah,
you know?
I haven't seen them.
Yeah, they're weird. And
that's
the
thing about it, they just kind of looked that way to me, and I'm like, that's
and,
not my
and,
thing.
And it's, people are fanatical for them and love them, and I that's totally wonderful, but I don't, it's not my kind of horror. You know,
it's not clear whether Zombie plans to resurrect the trio from the dead in some kind of supernatural fashion in the new film, or has found a way to explain how they survived a big shootout that happens in Devil's Rejects.
But, you know, speaking of horror, Jesus, I can't talk, Steve, I saw for the first time Friday the 13th, the first movie, because I was too terrified to watch it when I was a kid.
The original with Kevin Bacon?
Mm-hmm. It's not even that scary.
No,
like because
movies, like a 43-year-old man.
Movies that they make now are absolutely terrifying, and because of how terrifying they are,
totally. Yeah,
I watch it. I'm like,
it's a suspense movie.
Yeah,
it's a crazy murderer. Now when you cross the boundaries into the second one, and then you start to have this eternal force of evil, which is Jason Voorhees, but it's just the mom killing them in the first one.
Yeah. Three from Hell, by the way, is expected out earlier this fall, although a confirmed release date has yet to be announced. Zombie will also have a new LP out later this year, his first since 2016. And then one last thing, Sting has announced a headlining residence in Las Vegas, set to open at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace Friday, May 22nd.
So you're a massive Police fan.
Yes.
Would you make a special trip to go see a Sting residency?
No. I mean, not to Vegas. If I happen to be going to Vegas and Sting was there, absolutely, I'm on it. But I'm not gonna plan a trip. If Sting came through town and I had the time, I would love to go see him play. And he is always surrounding himself by impeccable musicians.
Right.
So you do get that of it as well. According to the press release, the production titled My Songs will present a compendium of Sting songs with dynamic visual references, some of his most iconic videos and inspirations. Tickets go on sale to the general public Friday, May 3rd, 10 a.m. And the Vegas stand will play at the Coliseum May 22nd. A bunch of dates, actually. I'm not going to go through all of them. And then there's a second run that starts in August. So he's going to set up shop for a little bit.
Who all has residencies in Vegas now?
There's, is Celine Dion still there?
No, hers wrapped up.
Britney Spears had one, but I think she took a break from it.
Elton John did one.
Cher did
and,
one.
Yeah, and I want to say, like, Def Leppard did one.
Didn't GNR do
one? Styx might have done
Kiss
one.
Kiss did one.
I'm not sure.
I think Guns N' Roses did one for a little bit, too. But
Aerosmith and Lionel Richie, Marissa just said in my ear.
That's a weird pairing.
Yeah, not in the same.
Oh. No, not together.
One's not opening up for the other.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that makes total sense. I mean, for those guys, Journey did one not that long ago.
Yeah.
Because you just set up shop, all the equipment's there. They don't have to go through the hassle of moving stuff around and doing, you know, sound checks all the time. And it's for the musician, it's very easy.
And the paycheck has to be pretty, you know, fat for that.
Yeah, Vegas always plays really well, from what I understand. So, all right, that is what I have in music news this morning.
Yeah!
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second, getting ready to wrap up the program. Not before we get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Mr. Pierre Robert should be here to supply that for us. So we'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
News.
Disturbed.
More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Everclear, Santa Monica, 93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. About 10:33 in the Preston and Steve Show. How many other songs are named after California cities? I was just listening to Malibu from Hole the other day. And you have Santa Monica.
There's probably a ton of them. San Francisco?
Yeah, there's, well... Yeah, well, is there a song called San Francisco?
Well, I'm there's sure a song.
I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Tony Bennett. Yeah.
We built the city on rock and roll. It's about it, but it's not in the title.
And Lights by Journey is about San Francisco.
There's a song called San Francisco by a band called the Mowglies.
Okay. All right, there we go.
Heard of the Mowglies.
Yeah, they're a...
Pismo Beach.
Is there anything? Pismo.
By you two.
by you two.
The song's called Pismo Beach. About a beach called Pismo.
What is a Pismo? Huh. Shut up.
Is there a song, any song called Los Angeles?
Yeah, they're scrolling through.
I love LA, here. I guess.
Yeah,
I love LA.
I love that song.
Randy Newman
has
some great songs.
The beginning of it. I mean, it reminds me of Naked Gun, but it's a great song.
Reminds you of Naked Gun.
Yeah, there's when they go to the ball game.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Oh,
That's right.
What about San Diego?
Is there a song called San Diego?
I don't know.
Okay. Which means a whale's vagina.
We all know that.
Song is called San Diego.
Bono wrote
Which
that?
Means a whale's vagina.
I have no idea. All right, anyhow, real quick, thank you. The ladies of Club Risqué were quite lovely.
They
today,
were fantastic, honestly. They were, I think, maybe the best we've ever had
they
here.
They were a lot of fun. I told them sometimes the ladies sit and chew their gum and look on their phones, but they were having a lot of fun. So thank you to Arabella,
Ronnie,
Reagan,
Spiro,
who were all here,
Henry and Kissinger,
this morning, and they have... a lot of things going on tonight. The Calendar Girls from the last 20 years are going to be there on Friday. Adult film star Rhea Sunshine.
Now that's the kind of name that lends itself to getting into the adult film industry.
And I should probably made it up.
Oh, then you think that's a made up name?
Yeah. Then on Saturday, superstar Jessa Rhodes will be there, and they're celebrating their 20th anniversary. For more information, go to clubrisque.com. So there you go. Hello, Pierre Robert.
Why, howdy doody.
Nice to see you, sir.
You too.
Excellent. Real quick, I also want to thank Ted Qualley and also Jerome Thomas from the Police Athletic League for stopping by this morning.
Wonderful thing they're doing.
The BOMA Cops Helping Kids Day is tomorrow, so stop by. A lot of the major skyline buildings, the big skyscrapers in Philadelphia, they will be collecting funds for Police Athletic League, so it's a very cool thing. Pierre Robert, how do we, should we do the letter? You ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that first.
Yeah.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
T as in Thomas.
All right, and we have one more to go. We have an autographed Cage the Elephant guitar, plus a pair of pit tickets to see them with Beck and Spoon at BB&T Pavilion. That's Wednesday, August 21st. First, some tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. You can listen on, well, you already did listen on Tuesday for the playback of that, and I'm sure you'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, you can listen on Tuesday for it if you go back in time.
Yes, and you can now. We're learning that they're making inroads into time travel.
Exactly. Going to come around any day now.
I will be there for it.
When I was a kid, I watched a show called The Time Tunnel. Did you ever see
that,
Steve?
I love The Time Tunnel. Irwin Allen.
Yes.
And remember the first episode, James Darren?
James Darren, the singer. The
right.
The 50s singer who's from Philly was one of the two actors in that.
And they went, and it was the coolest thing. It was this super long tunnel that had, it was just a, like black, white lines. And they always had this dumb security guard that were running, no, don't! And he'd come running in and be 1,400 years older. But I loved that show as a kid. That was all around the time of Lost in Space and Land of the Giants and all that stuff.
Yes.
Big fan. And the first episode, you remember the Titan? No one ever believed them, by the way. No, you don't understand. This ship is going to sink. Yeah.
Yeah, their first episode, they went to the Titanic. They couldn't control, I think, where they would land.
No. They never landed in the middle of the ocean. Right, they always landed, like, you know, they happened to land on a ship in the middle of the Atlantic.
And then what was that other one with, what's his name? Scott, what's his name?
You're talking about Quantum Leap?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was sort of time
travel.
Bacula. Yeah. Yeah. So
that was a fun show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, by the magic of time travel, we'll be able to hear that.
Yeah. So everyone go back, get in your time machine, go back to Tuesday. Yeah. Well, actually go back, Tuesday morning.
Around 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Or afternoon. And then you can watch it, and then it'll be so cool.
But, Pierre, a word of caution. Make sure your stabilizers are on, or else you'll come back much older than you were before.
That's true. And the danger of time travel is if we go back in time, we could alter the future. So be really careful. Don't let anyone see you. Because even if you say hello to someone, it might stop them for a second, which could change the course of history.
It's like a chaos theory.
The
right?
Butterfly effect.
Right,
butterfly
exactly.
Effect. So what's on today's show?
I thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
And now we gleefully anticipate an answer.
I still love the porn stars with the name of Spiro Agnew and Kissinger.
Well, they were adult dancers.
I mean, talented dancers of the adult capacity. anyway, I'm still getting over that. I want to tell you that life is grand.
Thank you so much.
And
this comes from a time traveler.
I've just landed, and you guys are swell.
I have come from the past to tell you that life is grand.
I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah.
You don't know where I've been.
The things I've seen.
The things I've seen.
This very morning, I was mastodon hunting.
I was. And I had a pet mastodon. His name was Hank. Anyway, I want to tell you I'll have Workforce Blocks of Bruce Springsteen, The Clash. I've got Rolling Stones Honk on vinyl to give away. And I've got lots of fun to dabble in.
Fun and frivolity for all.
Yes.
A lot of dabbling on the program.
Yes, thank you.
I love it, man. All right. Let me thank our sponsors. Today's show has been brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. Try a Rita's Concrete. Delicious blend of creamy frozen custard and your favorite toppings. And also Mealy's Furniture. Just what you're looking for. Tomorrow on our program, we have O'Shea Jackson, who's going to be in the studio. That's Ice Cube's son.
Yeah, awesome.
He was in Straight Outta Compton, amongst other things. So he'll be here. Also from Silicon Valley, Kumail Nanjiani will be here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's great. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
And he's done a couple of his own films that are very funny.
And we also will have the birthday boy, the Philly Fanatic, will be in our studio.
Wow. Too.
So, yeah, bunch going on tomorrow's program. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Maybe we'll see you tonight at Parse Casino for a sorority party. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
To the linoleum chick. You're really annoying, but I kind of want to f*** you. Such is the dichotomy of life.
Next message.
Roadkill alert. There's two perfectly good raccoons on the Conshock and Curve. Don't get them. That's good eating.
Next message.
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.